Tonight, our headlines include E3, E3 show rumors, E3 plans, E3 teasers, and, well, E3. Sound expected? Then stay tuned instead to hear about Overwatch, more Project Rap Rabbit, and autonomous driving fears played out in gaming. And yes, it all starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight on May the 21st of 2017, episode number 687 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. And joining me, as always, not just yet, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She's literally on her way. She had another event just before the show tonight, so she'll be joining us in a few moments here. She comes in live, but I do have some other folks here in studio to say hello to. Of course, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, you got a brand new toy.
Yes,
it's shiny. It's shiny, and it needed the Wi-Fi password.
Yes, it did.
What is this? You bought a new laptop, right?
I bought a new laptop,
and
yes.
That keyboard kind of glows like my
It's
keyboard.
RGB, and it matches my Tron background that I have.
Oh, very cool. So what all went into it? So you got a new laptop because your other one was kind
of... My other one is kind of... It's full of malware, and I just didn't feel like redoing everything on it. Also, it's overheating. I've had bad luck with old Asus laptops. The old ones that they had, not so much the Republic of Gaming stuff that they have now, but the old ones were like not thermally designed well, and so they would overheat. In fact, this is my first laptop, my first Asus laptop, pretty much melted when Titanfall hit it. And then I had to buy this last one, which was a replacement. It was kind of one I had to, pick up. It was whatever was available at Fry's at the time, and it was an AMD and ATI, I guess it's an AMD chip now too, the GPU, CPU, and an APU processor. I just wasn't all that satisfied with it. It was slightly better spec-wise than my old laptop, but it was getting old. I mean, it was like a few years old when I bought it, and now it's 3 more years old and just needed something new. So I got a brand new laptop. It's got like a Core i7 in it, 16 gigabytes of RAM, a GTX 1060 with, 6 gigs of RAM. Pretty much can run anything. Oh, and it has a 5 terabyte hard drive in it because I'll never fucking fill that up.
God, you have more space on that than I do on my desktop that's not even that old.
Exactly. Well,
That's a lot of porn.
It could be a lot of porn. But who downloads porn nowadays? I mean,
it's all streaming, of course.
It's all available on the internet. I mean, there's really no point. I could literally... I was backing up my laptop, my old one, and just kind of copying over what I needed. Because most of it was just like, just Unity project stuff. And I didn't have to really move any games over because I can just download that crap again. But it was, it felt like it was a lot of space. And I look at my hard drive, usage, and I'm like, it's like nothing. It's like, come on, is this it? I mean, seriously.
Let me introduce our live chat room, of course, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. And if you are listening live, you can join us in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. And Bobby Blackwolf, who I just referred to, says in chat, or I should say asks, what's the Wi-Fi password? It's Blackwolf sucks, 123 exclamation point, because, all passwords have to have numbers and punctuation in them. Bobby's also asking, does Loki's old laptop make him want to cry? Like, did you get hit with want to cry? Is that why?
No, I didn't want to cry.
I'm the one at risk for that because I'm still on Windows XP, where all the IT people out there are going.
It should be still fine if I reset it. It just runs really hot for no reason, and I have my I bought a new laptop cooling pad for this laptop, but I think it's too small. But for the other one, it actually works really well. So I may just end up wiping it, putting Minecraft on, giving it to my son or something, to use.
Oh, that's a cute idea. Like, put little kitty games.
Still run. That's what I was playing Minecraft on.
Make him learn the way we did. Put Number Munchers, Odell Lake. Put the
he's
classics.
He's already playing other stuff. I mean, he's got the Wii U and everything. He's not going to go for that. But it was just... I don't know. Like, it has like some Chromium malware thing on it right now that's really pissing me off. And I tried removing it. I think that's what kind of borked a bunch of stuff. So I just said, fuck it. I'm not going to worry about fixing this laptop right now. It's kind of falling apart. I'm just going to get a new one. And I got a great deal. This one is actually used. I mean, it's practically brand new except for like a couple tiny scratches on the top of the case, which is like, who gives a shit? And it's fantastic. It's a Electrics, or I think they call them they go by a bunch of different names. Clevo is another one. It's basically it's Clevo shells. They have these laptop shells that a bunch of different companies fill with components, and they're really nice. I mean, just no bloatware installed on it. Just a clean copy of Windows, and just runs fantastic. I played, you know, Grand Theft Auto fully maxed out at like over 60 frames per second yesterday. I was like, I can't even run this game on my old laptop. It's fucking awesome.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you about some of the games you've been playing on your new laptop, but I figure that's probably best to hold on to How Was Your Gaming Week, which we'll get to in a little while. I'm going to have you start us with our kickoff topic in a little bit, though, with that story that we have. Mm-hmm. But first, of course, I want to introduce our other folks in studio here while we still wait for Darksoccer to arrive. We have folks that you've heard on the show plenty of times before. Say hello to JD joining us again tonight.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
Yeah, good, good. What's new with you since the last time we saw you?
I moved to Japantown.
That's right. So you're within walking distance of all that fun stuff. That's you know, everybody likes to crash San Francisco in the area during the Sakura Cherry Blossom Festival, right?
Yeah, I actually moved during the second weekend of that.
What good timing!
Right?
I'm sure that was a lot of fun. Just pull up the U-Haul right next to all that other.
Made it work.
Yeah, you made it work. Good, good. You survived.
I think so.
And now you're within walking distance of that cute little arcade there that has like poppin' music and some of our old music game favorites, right?
Yeah. Two poppins, a DDRX3, a Rhythm Tengoku arcade, which is not something I'd seen anywhere else.
Oh, and yeah.
A Taiko, I think it's Taiko 9.
Nice. Well, that's fun. So, congrats on the move. Good thing you got out of the city this weekend, because Beta Breakers is going on right now, or was earlier today, right?
Yeah, it was today. It's a mess.
A lot of people are probably still hungover. If you don't know what this is, it's like only in San Francisco is Beta Breakers. Alan is also joining us. Hubby Alan is here.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
You were about to explain for us what Beta Breakers is.
I was going to say, it's sort of a race question mark. A silly walk, fitness question mark. Basically, they walk from the west side to the east side. No, east side to the west side of San Francisco in costumes, and there's lots of day drinking, and lots of people are naked, and it's basically it just shuts down the city and makes traffic a shit show.
Sounds very San Francisco. Anyway, let me talk to JD a little more, and I'm going to come back to you, Alan, in a little bit for our little kickoff topic tonight. JD, so I guess this kind of gets into our gaming week a little bit, but I know you've been playing console stuff, as has I. We have other things we can talk about, but you and I took a little arcade adventure yesterday.
Yeah,
we went out to the arcade that I talked about a couple weeks ago on the show, where because I wanted you to be able to play Pump It Up, which, right, I knew they had. I wanted you to see this little bootleg machine that took over our show for 2 weeks, right? I wanted you to see like all the cool stuff they had. And then so we got there and found that there's more, like the machines have been mating. There was now a Sound Voltex machine and a U-Beat.
Two U-Beats.
Yeah. Which is kind of
Is this all like, what's his name? The
it
guy
is.
That,
it
okay.
is. Yeah.
I thought so, because he's moving his machines around.
All the stuff that used to, it's like the presence that used to be at Scandi is now over here. It took us a little while to figure that out, but that's apparently what's happening.
Well, his name is on the Sound Voltex machine. When you log in with EMUs, like it says, it's his.
Yeah, yeah. So. Which I finally got to play Sound Voltex for the first time, because every time I go to round one, like even when we go early, we'll go to round one like open, because that's when it's the least crowded, right? Yeah. We always go to these things early. It's like, that's what old people do. They get up early and they go to mall walks, right? They walk around the mall. So we did the mall walking at round one, and there's actually the Sound Voltex machines will also have people on them that early. So yeah, I usually never am able to get in and play that game, but I was finally able to play it. It was fun. I liked it. I kind of like Neon FM a little more, I think, which might be, I don't know, that might be sacrilege in some circles. I don't know. Maybe it's just because
they're different games.
They're very different games. They're also very different song lists. And it's hard to explain. Like, I just don't, like, the J-pop stuff doesn't resonate with me the way that it used to.
I mean, a good portion of the song list these days is Vocaloid and Toho, so.
That's very true as well, so. But what was I going to say? So but when I played Neon FM, like my hands were hurting, like just from slamming all the, you know, because it's basically poppin' music, but like, you know,
with flat pads instead of popping out buttons.
So, but I had a good time. So we had a good time on our arcade adventure. Yeah. Was there a favorite thing that you played?
Oh, man. You know, I think it's probably, I'm going to be lame. It was a tie between the Stepmania cabinet and the DDR 2014.
Because you're old school, you like dancing, even though those pads were moving as you were dancing.
Oh,
it was so funny.
Yeah. So I played doubles a lot, and these pads were not anchored down nearly enough. So I was playing, and they moved probably like a foot and a half or something, and I had to move them back after each song.
All right.
I thought they had feet on those things.
They probably do, but...
they weren't using them.
They weren't planted down very well. All right. Well, I'm going to introduce here, because she walked into the studio as we were having that little discussion. Hi, Dark Soccer, or Jamie Summers.
Hi, I'm on sister time.
Because you're running late. I got right. it. I was like, wait a minute. I've heard gay time. I've heard a lot of different, you know, descriptions for why somebody runs late, but
that's
sister
in the
time
same family.
That's a yeah. It's all in the same family. It really is. I thought you'd still have full white face like I saw on Facebook earlier.
I actually came home relatively in enough time, but I was so exhausted that I passed out.
Oh,
like I sat on my bed. I washed my face off. Everything was fine. I sat on my bed. Midna comes in and then dead.
The heat here right now is no joke, though. Like, it's already summer weather.
We had some nice shade. We were all shady.
Of course.
But I got to meet some of the San Francisco sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And made some new friends.
Good.
And it was just nice seeing the smiles and recognition and people seeing their mood light up by having the sisters
and
at Pride.
In that freaking heat. I mean, the fact that you guys
wasn't
did all
terrible,
that. Really? That's good.
Well, out in the sun, yeah, it was terrible. But in the shade, it was really nice. We sat out. We had wine.
Okay, that's why you passed out. Drinking in this heat?
No.
Girl.
No. I had like a little sippy cup of wine with a straw in it because I was wearing whiteface. So I was drinking my Prosecco through a straw, which is classy as fuck.
Like a lady.
Like a lady.
Yeah.
There was like a nice, like an Italian ice place. It was really yummy.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the weather. And I found out that lemon and cherry mix very well.
Yes, they do.
And there were vendors there, and there was no parade because it's Davis.
Right.
But there were lots of vendors there and people singing and cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would like, you pay them $1 for their cheer thing and they would do a jump or a cartwheel.
One of the gals from Drag Race was supposed to be there, right?
Supposed to be there, but I didn't see her.
Oh, that's too bad.
But I also left when the things were still going on because as a postulant, I have to stay with my big sister, or at least one of the other sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And since they were all leaving to go to the coronation tonight, or what the investment for the local court, I got the okay to stay with the San Francisco sister. So we just hung out dishing, and it was great. And then,
it's a lip sync. What part of that don't you understand? I'm just kidding.
Okay.
It just clicked for her.
It
just clicked for her.
This
what I was
bitch.
Raising. No. Don't. Because some people haven't watched it. Some people haven't watched it.
All right. I'm just gonna say this. I am disappointed doubly.
Mm-hmm. Video games. This is a video game show. The other show is about this.
But that bitch.
All right. Anyway.
Okay. I had a Tyra moment. I had a Tyra moment.
We all did. All right. Look. Speaking of that bitch, Alan. I'm just kidding. Hearts. How have you been? We haven't heard from you in a while.
Fine.
I know your days off have switched around a little bit.
Yeah, I'm on a new schedule.
Yeah, you're able to join us now on Sunday night, so I like that a lot. So I want to talk VR with you a little bit. So you got a new toy this week, right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about it.
I got a Galaxy S8 on launch day, and they had because my previous phone like was literally dying and I was practically unusable, so the timing was great. And they had a promotion where if you got a Galaxy S8, which is the first phone that they've released since the Note 7 like was blowing up like in people's hands and spraying battery acid everywhere, so this was kind of a big deal release, and the promo
literally banned in all airports.
Yeah. And you got if you got the S8 in a certain window, you got a Gear VR, which is Samsung's at-home Oculus equivalent VR device that uses your phone. You actually pop your phone into the front of it. And it arrived Thursday, and I've been messing around with it.
So tell us a little bit about what you've been using the device for.
I did get a code that had a bunch of like cheap games on it for free. I've been checking them out. Then I bought a couple for like $4 or $5 each.
You've been spending money on that? No, I'm just kidding.
My favorite one so far is the scary one. Not because it's scary, but I just feel like the way that the hand controller is used as your flashlight and the way the VR looks when you're walking through the house.
What's the name of it? Do you know?
Affected the Manor.
Okay.
There are two other episodes, but they're for the Oculus proper. Because the Oculus Rift, you hook up to a PC, I believe, and the PC runs the game.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's piped to the thing. This all has to be run on your phone, so even though the S8 is, the strongest processing power of all the phones on the market, at least I would hope it is, it's still not going to be at the level of what an Oculus can do. Simply because you hook an Oculus up to a computer.
And Tiger Claw in our chat is asking, is it the regular S8 or the S8 Plus?
Yeah,
I was going to say, you have the large, because you have the larger phone like I do with the iPhone 6
they
Plus.
They do have, I don't know if you've tried it yet, they have something that you can actually run on your PC and stream it to your phone, like actual Oculus proper games using that. So that might be something to try.
Yeah, for sure. Well.
Yeah, I wonder how that would.
Since you probably have a pretty powerful PC, then you know that might.
Yeah, worth have to look. Or you could use Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or whatever.
Yeah, you could even use my PC to do it too. So because we just upgraded mine.
I was trying to get you to play one or two games before the show, so you could talk about it a little.
Yeah, I've had a lot of personal stuff going on today, so I wasn't able to get around to doing that. But I'm curious to check it out. But let's look. This is Orange Lounge Radio. Y'all heard the warning in the beginning. This is an adult audience's show.
Yeah.
So let's not hold back, because everybody fucking knows what we did with that thing first.
Yes.
Of course, it's VR porn. I mean, that's... Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
That's what we did at the Oculus dev kits. Like, let's look at porn on this.
Ding, ding, ding. Even Bobby Blackwolf and his family-friendly show.
Fantastic.
He knows.
It's so it's like so weird. I mean, but
it's
like
not
that man knows.
Sexy.
That man knows. When the very first time I saw this VR stuff, you know, he was like, okay, here's the roller coaster sim, and isn't that kind of neat? And here's the walk around the house and look at all the stuff sim. And then, you know, I'm doing all these things. He's like, all right, I know you want to see the porn. Here's the porn. So I got to see.
We just need to combine the two, because everyone does the roller coasters and porn. We need a porno coaster.
And then you downloaded, you know, Glory Hallelujah.
Oh yeah. Oh, is that what y'all sang in church today, sisters? All right.
La,
anyway.
La, la, la.
Here's the thing. Well, on that note, believe it or not, here's the thing. Bobby Blackwolf, being a heterosexual male, I know that the porn I was going to see on that was going to be, you know, a lady who is going to walk over and fellate me in the first person, and that was what the porno was that I watched. However, I don't know if any, I'm sure any podcast has talked about VR and VR porn probably has talked about that, but has any podcast talked about gay pornography in the VR? Because we're about to go there, ladies
Yay.
And gentlemen.
I know it exists.
Yes, it exists, and I'm not going to get super detailed, but I didn't say Alan wouldn't get super detailed. Alan, tell us about the gay porn on the VR.
The fact that it's first person, so that it's happening in quotey fingers to you, is very strange and jarring, because everything is up close in your face. Like, you see
everything. We'll just leave it at that. Everything. You see glory, glory, hallelujah.
You see Christmas and New Year's. It's, and it's like, There are certain models that probably don't want to be in front of that camera, because they're like, you know what? My butthole isn't that photogenic.
You could tell that was a freshly waxed vehicle.
Yes.
You could tell, like, that was just, it was a bit much.
And they say that bleaching it is an urban legend, but I'm convinced that it's real, because I think this boy had it done.
Anyway, all right.
And basically,
I hear the clicks across America and the world of people shutting off the show.
Those are like clicks. That
I hope. But anyway, but dialing it back just a little bit, like, these things are all like first person and all that. But here's the $50,000 question. Is it hot?
No.
So the thing that threw me off about it was that it was just a static video. Like, I mean, it wasn't interactive at all. And I mean, when we're talking about VR and this heavily immersive experience, I was kind of expecting to have more agency, you know, like, You can see, like, even in the lobby of the Oculus, you walk around, you look at things, you do stuff, it responds to you. This was just, it felt like a 3D movie or something, and it wasn't...
There are some that have 360 view, where if you want to turn your back on the boy wanking in the bed and just look out the window? You can.
Yeah.
You're like, ooh, contemplating. I'm sorry.
What have I done with my life?
I'm interrupting you. You're like, I'll give you some privacy, and you turn around.
I feel like it needed to go farther to do something for me.
Yeah. And when I started laughing, and when I put, I'm like, you have to watch this one, because I just found some free trailers that were like 40 seconds long. You were like scream laughing.
I was scream laughing, like doing the full on like, ah! Like it was funny. Yeah. Porn's funny.
It's not hot.
It's not hot at all. At all.
And I thought maybe like it's going to be a scene just in 3D where I'm like this weird ghost person watching them, but no, it's through the perspective of it happening to you, which yes. makes it far more
and
shocking.
It's like the first time I can look down and not see my stomach just hanging there.
You're like, oh, I have abs. I want it for this.
That was the hottest fucking part of it.
get the other guy out of the way. I want to look down and see abs.
Jamie wants to jump in here.
See, now I have to invent Glory Hallelujah because it would come with like it would come with a peripheral.
Yeah.
I bet it would, bitch.
It would come with an interactive peripheral that's based off of stimulation from the game.
Right.
Copyright Jamie forever.
That's where they've already beat you to it because they already have devices that work with those.
What was that? We saw VR that at videos. E3 years ago. The Feel 3 or whatever that thing was.
I think that was
I
before
didn't think that
VR.
That had that like attachments. You just
it did. It had. I swear that thing had like a little
wanker.
Like what is? What do they call that thing?
The wank mote.
No.
The fleshlight.
Thank you. It's a fleshlight. I knew you'd know it. It was a fleshlight type attachment that you used when you were doing it. But it was more like a Second Life type of game, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It was. And I remember boy play girl. Whatever. But see that I want to make that an OLR dream game now.
All right. And to defend Bobby's honor a little bit, he is in chat saying, Rob, I would have totally had it available for you if it was around and I was showing you the DK1. They just
that is true. That didn't come around.
They hadn't invented gay porn yet. That came later.
There's just one website that I found.
Yeah.
Because I was like, there's got to be something.
Exactly,
and
right.
I just found this one site.
Yeah.
So the games that I have.
Video games.
Yeah. Right. Well, one issue that I have, especially with Affected, the Manor, the scary game, is that they're like basically four different paths you can go down, but they all end ultimately the same way. It's not really a game. And I noticed that a lot of these VR experiences, they're not even like Gone Home or something where it's like a first person narrative. You're sort of like walking through and like, oh, this is trippy. Oh, I really like how it uses the flashlight effect. And then jump scare, and then it's over. And it's like there's no puzzles. And that's not the only game that was like that. It's kind of weird to find out, is this really a game or is this just like a neat thing to last me like 20 minutes of just.
I think it's still because all this VR stuff is still in that gimmick phase. It's just like, yeah. You know, with the DS and Wii and stuff, they don't really know how to utilize the hardware well. So it's all these experimental, like, oh, that's a neat idea. Let's do that a million times, you know, not really utilizing it in an innovative way. Like, I think right now the best thing we have, like, for VR, probably Resident Evil 7 is probably going to be one of the strongest examples of like a AAA game done exclusively in VR.
Well, PlayStation VR is doing a lot right in
Sony
that department
for that. Yeah.
But in a way, I mean, just to be fair, you know, when we talked a lot about this when Facebook bought Oculus and it was like, oh my God, why would Facebook do this and all this stuff? And we were kind of like, well, wait a minute, maybe there's more to VR than just gaming. So to be fair, you know, a lot of these experiences and videos, you know, I know we're having fun talking about porn, but we've seen other stuff in VR too. I mean, I remember seeing a Cirque du Soleil thing. I saw like the last Paul McCartney concert at Candlestick Park, you know, before they closed Candlestick Park down. There was a VR thing for that. So like, you know, it's definitely shown that there can be experiences. And I would think especially when it comes to mobile devices and stuff, games are not going to be the strong point of mobile devices. It's going to be these more like immersive, like, oh, it's almost like I was there type of experience. You know, like I'm surprised maybe that did exist, but Coachella didn't have like a VR thing where you could be at Coachella virtually. It probably did exist. I just didn't see
it. There's a thing on here like that where it's Major Lazer and Diplo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And watch him on stage.
But now you go to PlayStation and PlayStation's bread and butter is games. So I would hope that the strongest stuff over there is going to be games. And so far, that does seem to be true between Resident Evil 7. And
it's,
I know,
hit and miss.
A lot of people love the Rush of Blood.
I love Rush of Blood. I think that's, for if you're going to get PlayStation VR, pick that up first. $20, great value for what you get. It's just such a great game.
Well, and then Thumper was one, because I'm thinking of that. I was thinking of that because that came out on Switch. And JD, you were thinking of, like, do I want to get, because I like music games, but Rhythm Violence, what the hell is that? So I was like, all right, let's put this on the, because I have it on PlayStation 4, let's play it. And I was like, you have to imagine this in VR, because it's like twice as good when it's in VR.
I mean, the thing about Thumper was that it just wasn't musical enough for me to really get going with it. Like, it was definitely rhythmic.
It's not J-pop.
Well, and it wasn't even that. There was no melody.
Yeah.
Like, it was just all percussive. And I'm like, you know, I can kind of keep the beat and stuff, but it just wasn't fun the same way.
Mm. Interesting, because Bobby points out a lot of those videos are also available on PlayStation VR. The Paul McCartney one is in the Jaunt VR app. Well, I guess that doesn't make sense, because technically, I mean, yes, I say the PlayStation's bread and butter is games, but the reality is it's also a Netflix device. They sell movies on it. They do this live events viewer thing that I'm sure later in the show we'll talk about E3 and all that. You know, that is all part of PlayStation's stuff as well, but...
I mean,
anyway.
Even when it comes down to Sony, they're a media company.
That's true. That's true. Not just televisions.
Then the Oculus is actually what powers the Gear VR. Like, it's their storefront, and it's their, I guess, API or UI that you navigate on the phone. So there are 3D movies like X-Men Days of Future Past that I could buy on this to see a 3D movie. But the idea of even just laying in bed with this thing on my head watching a full movie for 2 hours seems very strange. I don't want to. I'd rather watch it on an at-home 3D TV, which we have.
Yeah, but to be fair, it sucks. Like, the 3D TV, it sucks. Those glasses, like, don't even work anymore. Like, it's just, it sucks.
The game that I was playing that was actually a really good puzzle game is called Rongi. And it's, I don't want to say it's Portal-esque, but basically you're in a room and you see the door that you're supposed to exit through, and the color tile above the door is orange. And you look and you see like a blue beam and a red beam and a yellow beam. Well, if you're trying to get the color orange, the blue beam is like a red hair. Like, you don't care about the blue beam because you want to get the, you want to slide these tiles over so that the red and the yellow merge. And then you direct the orange beam at the door, and then the door unlocks and you go to the next room. That I thought was really cool. Because you look up and you're like, oh, there's a cliff up there. So then you click and you teleport up there and you find that there's another tile for you to flip to, like, reflect the laser or whatever. I thought that was a neat game. So I want to play more of that. And then I have Drop Dead, which is a zombie game, but it's more like Time Crisis, or what, like the really, like, where you lower your thing to reload and it's very fast. The zombies are just running at you. So it's not really scary at all. And Dragon Front, which is kind of like chess meets Magic the Gathering, but it's in, of course, 3D VR. So you take your card and you put it down, and it pops up and it turns into a little knight.
Oh, it's like Eye of Judgment.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Wow, okay. So.
But it's, well, that, yeah, but those had a real element to it. This is all in a virtual space.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
But it's neat.
Now, let me ask this question.
Oh, I was going to say, I wanted to try to get the Power Rangers thing they have for it to show Shane.
Ah.
Because the first, we're like, hey, Shane, I have a Gear VR. There's porn on it. And he was immediately like, I'm not listening to anything you're ever going to say after this.
Right. Shutting down in 3, 2, 1.
We offended his delicate sensibilities.
Right.
But I imagine if I had the Power Rangers movie VR experience on it, he would have tried it. But
Gimme. Yeah.
It's exclusive to some weird device that's also competing in the Oculus Gear VR space.
Huh.
So I don't remember. Bobby might know.
Was
but
it
yeah,
the
that
dream?
That was, I think, probably. So, yeah, I was looking for that, but I'm like, no, it's an exclusive. Because I want to see Power Rangers in VR.
Well, thank you for playing some games in VR and you know, telling us a little bit about it, especially since I failed to do so this week. But let me ask this. So, since you have been doing a little bit of VR gaming this week, you're now the show's VR expert. I guess Loki, but
also, you said conditionally that the only reason why you were trying it out the first night that I got it is because it literally uses my phone in the device so that I couldn't record you using it.
That was only when we were watching Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, what was I going to say? I know. So let me ask this about your kind of VR experience. So games that you play a lot of online, Mass Effect Andromeda, I know, is one you're still playing a lot. Despite everything we've talked about that show in the past couple, or about that game in the past couple weeks, you are still very loyal to Andromeda.
Yes.
And playing multiplayer and all that stuff, right? Would you play something like that in a VR space? Does that appeal to you, being able to, you know, obviously I know your phone doesn't have that power, but let's just put all that aside. Let's assume that the capability was there that you could play something like Andromeda in a VR space. Would you?
I would feel like, because when I'm in a space to play an RPG like that, I'll put in a couple hours worth, and I just can't, even if I've trained myself up to being used to having the VR thing on my face for that long, it is isolating. You've got this thing on your head. So I think it's going to be mostly a casual experience until they become more like glasses that you can slide on and off. I don't know how to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of a game that I play now. Like, I was looking for a music game. Like, of course, Rez would be incredible on this. But
right.
Again, that's very, like, you do a stage, then the stage is over, then you can stop.
Right.
So it's very, it's broken down into little bite-sized pieces.
And that's actually kind of my thing with it, too, is that actually, well, I don't know, I think I might just need to calibrate it better for my head, because I was getting a lot of the double vision stuff. Like,
yeah,
my eyes,
you shouldn't be getting that at all.
My eyes were shifting in and out of focus, like, really bad, and I think,
yeah.
And that, like, can really give me a headache after a few minutes, at least with this particular device. But, you know, I would say, you know, I realize it isn't VR, it's completely different, but one of the better experiences I had was with HoloLens, because those were like glasses you put on your head and they didn't like pull on my eyes or any of that stuff. Like, that's why I did that whole mystery game thing that Bobby had me go through, and that was a lot of fun, and I was able, you know, that was a good maybe 30 minutes that, you know, and I didn't feel anything after that. Whereas 5 minutes of all the stuff we were doing, I was like, okay, I need to take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see, going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby answers your question here. The Power Rangers stuff is only on Qualcomm's Snapdragon VR platform,
okay.
Which literally nobody has. SG100 Matt says, I've seen the VR porn on the Gear VR. It's really meh and more ridiculous than anything. I wasn't expecting
the other thing I got too, which you might want to try. There's this Google Card or thing to allow you to play Google Cardboard apps as well using that. That's another good one to get, because there's a lot more that's available through the Google Play
and
Store.
Google's own home VR thing is coming out soon, I think. The Dream or no?
No, Dream's already out with the Pixel.
Okay.
That was the first phone. But now, I mean, we'll get into it a little bit later, but like the Samsung Galaxy S8 is going to support Dream as well. I mean, I don't know. It's basically they're trying to make like a platform. Okay, these phones are powerful enough to run this. Kind of like how these graphics cards are VR ready type thing. These phones are VR ready or VR AR ready or something like that.
What was the puzzle game that I played a bit of? Do you remember?
Land's End.
That one was
which you liked.
Cool. Yeah. It reminded me a lot of Monument Valley a bit, with the kind of episodic, do a little bit of a puzzle here and then move on to the next area. But it was really pretty. Like, it takes place on a beach. And I mean, I'm a sucker for that kind of environment, but it was mostly like just connecting line puzzles. But I thought it was fun, at least the first area.
Yeah, and I need to check that out, because I think you've played that more than me. And then I downloaded this one thing called Groover, thinking it was a music game, but basically it's like you're floating and there's like the sort of sea punk, like dolphins going through the sky, and it's like, I don't smoke enough weed or take shrooms to be for this to be enjoyable, but it plays techno music and you're kind of just floating through, and there's like a big Buddha statue with like green smoke coming out of its eyes. I'm like, all right, this is like, it's like a
yeah we get it, you vape.
Yeah. it's basically, think of it as a 3D blacklight poster. That's exactly what it is.
Okay,
it's
okay.
A 3D blacklight poster. So yeah, that's all. It's a thing that I have.
All right. No, I do want to try more of it when real life settles down a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that's I'm glad that you brought VR into the house. Bobby's probably very glad you brought VR into the house. So yeah. I'm curious to try out more stuff that isn't, you know, laughable.
Yeah. After, you know, getting this laptop, and so I was like, oh, hey, maybe I should get a Vive. And I saw it was $800. I'm like, fuck that noise.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm going to give Dark Sakura her mic back now so she can participate in the show.
All right. Well, thank you for being here, Alan. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Find some more porn. All right. Let me ask. We had a story about VR here we want to do at the top of the show, too, on a related note, right, Logan?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah.
So they did the whole Google I.O. thing, which was pretty cool, because I actually watched that a bit. And there were some exciting announcements they were showing off. Of course, they talked a bit about VR, talking about, you know, the Google Dream platform or Daydream platform. And some of the things they announced with that, as I mentioned, that they're adding the Galaxy S8 to the lineup of phones that are going to be supporting it. There's also a new LG phone that's supporting it. I don't remember which phone it was, but a new LG phone is also going to be supporting the platform. They're saying that they're also working on some standalone devices, so some that you won't actually need a phone to be able to play VR content on, which, I mean, it's a good idea, I guess, as long as they're significantly cheaper than the phones, because honestly, if you're going to need a phone, the devices themselves aren't really that expensive. I mean, even if you're not necessarily picking up a Dream, or was it the Daydream, or the Gear VR, I mean, you can get cheap-ass cardboard ones, well, for pretty much nothing. I mean, so, I don't know. But yeah, these standalone devices are saying they're not going to require a phone or PC. Instead, you're going to be getting VR as simple as putting on the actual headset. And it's going to be optimized for VR and include new headset tracking technology called WorldSense, which is a positional tracking without all the extra sensors. So it sounds like a lot kind of what they were talking about with like Microsoft's, the headsets that they're making for them, you know, where it's going to be using, instead of having external cameras tracking the actual headset, the headset's tracking kind of the environment.
It also kind of sounds like the console of VR in a way, right? Because it's like, that's what consoles are, right? They hook up directly to your TV and it's a game dedicated
device. Honestly, though, I mean, that's cool if they're going to launch that, but I'm wary, just even with like what's available on like the Oculus Store and what's available on, you know, the Play Store, there's not really anything that justifies having a standalone device using this, unless it's going to take a lot of that PC stuff. But then you're just kind of like, well, how much is this thing really going to cost? And if it's right, going to run PC content, I have a hard time seeing how that would be worth it.
I'm getting a little worried too, and I have been for some time, and y'all know this is my concern, is that I'm really worried this VR pool is super diluted right now. Like, I'm not saying there should be only one player in VR. Like, I'm not saying that at all, but like, I'm having a really hard time keeping track of all these different devices. Like, I'm having to defer to Bobby Blackwolf constantly. What's that thing called? What is the other? What's the Power Rangers thing on? Like, I just don't fucking know. And I kind of think that's a problem. Like, maybe, or, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess if I asked a non-video gamer, you know, what are the consoles available, they would not be able to say off the top of their head, you know, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch. Like, they would not be able to do that. But I just can't help but feel like we've got so many choices that can't be productive, right?
But with that said, though, what they're showing off with, like, the AR stuff actually is really cool. So with that whole visual positioning service that they're basically putting into these phones, it allows it to basically kind of track your movement and everything based on your environment. And because they know where you are based on your GPS and they kind of know what you're looking at with their contextual AI, they're able to do, you know, kind of some neat stuff. So for example, one of the things that they showed off is like, okay, you're looking at a restaurant on the street and you get kind of a pop-up showing, okay, here are the reviews for this restaurant. It knew what you were looking at. It was kind of like, okay, showing you information about that. And so I can see that being kind of cool, especially if, you know, the tracking gets better. I mean, you could do all sorts of cool stuff with that with AR. So that's kind of what I think a little bit more interesting. I'm all for them putting more money into, you know, the VR stuff. The other cool thing they're showing off was also the this AR Pioneer program. So what that was is basically AR for classrooms. So they had like these sets that looked like they were on selfie sticks with like a phone, and they were actually doing different educational like kind of experiences. So okay, we're gonna see what a tornado looks like, or we're going to look at the galaxy or watch a volcano, and they can walk around and look at it and stuff. And I was like, that's pretty cool, you know, for kids. I mean, that's really gonna get them engaged and kind of learning everything. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, you know, again, showing my age here a little bit, but I lived through that age when VHS devices were new in the homes, right? I was young, like, you know, 5-6, but still. And I remember just educational tapes so that I could watch like Leonard Nimoy animating a movie. And yes, this was a real tape that I had, these little like science films where like they would show pictures of traveling to Neptune, traveling to, you know, or you know, obviously there's only so much they have they put on the film, but you guys know kind of where I'm going with this. I think a lot of times they would show it to you through the telescope, whatever. But as a kid, I remember, like, holy shit, you could see these planets, like, on my TV. And that was, like, that was technology when I was younger, 30 years ago when I was that age. And now the fact that, okay, now the technology is like, okay, now we, like, put you on the fucking surface of Mars because we, you know, can do that. But that's still really cool
and
for the kids.
The price of this technology is going to get cheaper and cheaper. So, I mean, imagine these standalone headsets later on when, you know, okay, hey, we're going to, you know, visit the surface of Mars because we actually have photographs of fucking Mars that we can stitch together into some VR thing. And I'm pretty sure that's probably already out now. You can already do that. But, you know, more mainstream where you can actually have kids experience that, and that's kind of cool. It's like you're literally visiting the surface of another planet.
I'm trying to parse some of this stuff in chat here over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. SJ100 Matt says, I could see the good in there being a lot of choices. It forces everyone with a VR device to try to outdo the other and innovate. Competition can lead to more or quicker innovation as long as they see it's beneficial. Kaijudo in chat says, VR is not diluted at all. It's like one day there isn't enough for VR. The next there is too much for it. Make up your minds. LOL. VR is fine and growing. I mean, okay, yeah, VR is growing, but I just, you know, if I wanted to start with VR, where should I go? There's so many, like, options right now. I would assume, for me, I would go to PlayStation VR simply because I'm a gamer, and that's you know.
I think it's gonna be pretty interesting, because especially now that you have, like, you know, Microsoft kind of, they're going to base an operating system around VR, AR. I think once that stuff starts hitting, I mean, God, in a decade's time, we could be all using VR stuff as, like, a PC. You know, we're going to be going to work and using this virtual space. And that's not going to be a weird thing.
Come on, confide in me. And chat says, I wonder if someday we'll be able to use AR to unlock a cute guy's private pics. Like, woof, Scruff, unlock his pics. You know, be careful what you ask for, because... Here's the thing. I mean, look, everything is going to come back to the whole time to penis and porn thing at the end of the day. But, you know, I could see definitely, like, one place where VR is going, especially with Facebook's involvement in this whole thing, is, you know, like your Facebook newsfeed. You know, right now you can broadcast live video on Facebook, right? And, you know, I don't see a whole lot of exciting stuff in there. Like, usually it's just a friend either playing a Blizzard game because it's integrated, or talking about their day. Or I have one friend that will do drunk cooking, which I think is a big thing on YouTube too. They'll get on their Facebook feed and drink and cook. So do that. But I would think it's only a matter of time before in VR you could be at somebody's wedding that you couldn't be there in real life. But you could still attend it in VR through Facebook streaming and Oculus and all this stuff. Like, I don't think the technology is obviously not totally there yet, but, like, it's close.
And as you can film those, the 360 videos.
As the cost of all this stuff comes down, I mean, could you do that today? Yes, you probably could. But could your grandma easily see it? Probably not. But as the cost of this technology comes down and down and down in the next few years, we're going to be there pretty quick. So it's just interesting. Anyway. All right. And some folks in our chat are complaining. I guess our servers are having a little bit of a hiccup, but it's not on our end, it's on the server's end, because we're still streaming a consistent amount of data, and more importantly, we didn't pop out of chat. That's usually a good sign. If it's on our end, we'll get disconnected from chat, and that didn't happen. But we're going to just try to push forward with our show anyway. Ragenator in chat says, the servers are drunk cooking, apparently. Apparently that's happening. All right, anyway. Lots of good VR talk. I'm sure there's going to be plenty more. E3 is around the corner. Who knows?
I'm excited to see some more PlayStation VR announcements.
Yeah, I'm excited. I would like to see what Microsoft might be taking the next step with HoloLens. I'm assuming no, because Scorpio is going to be their focus
just
this year.
Please don't announce a complete redesign of the PlayStation VR headset, because I'm going to feel a little bit pissed off if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, well, I don't have one yet, so they could do that. But anyway, I get it. All right, let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Soccer, I'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
It was very light, just given work's been so busy. But I've played some World of Warcraft, some Pokemon Go, Miitomo. Good Lord. And I played a lot of Bust a Move. Like, I played for, like, an hour and a half on like endless mode and never lost. And I was like, where did the fucking time go? And then I realized that it went down the drain along with the rest of my free time. So that's really it. Not a whole bunch. Although Shane's trying to get me into this like room 999 game.
Oh yeah, he's been talking about that. He said I don't know a lot about it. Like, keep trying to get him to come back to the show to talk about some of these things.
He said he's gonna lend it to me.
It's like an escape room as a video game is what he kind of described it to me as.
It looks like it was up my alley because I like Danganronpa. So yeah.
That's kind of funny because I thought escape rooms were based on flash games to begin with.
Yeah,
like
right?
The Crimson Room or the
Red
Room?
Like yeah, like all those little Japanese flash games where it's like you're stuck in a room and you have to put the clues together. I thought that's what they did the real-life escape rooms based on.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogueNetwork.com, use the passphrase LAMP.
I thought when I heard, this is a while back when we were like selling that game, I thought it was like Saw, if I remember. Or maybe I'm thinking Danganronpa.
It's kind of, from what I understand, it's a mix. There is some Saw-like elements to it, but, you know, the first thing I told Shane was I hate those movies, but he says it's not like in-your-face gore. It's kind of like off-camera type of thing. So I was like, all right, I guess I could probably handle that. I mean, if I can play Silent Hill, I can handle some of it. So anyway. All right, well, then if that's it for Darkstalkers Gaming Week, let's talk about Loki's Gaming Week.
So I played, you know, a few mobile games. So, of course, you know, more Office Space, Idle Profits, because it's still entertaining. A little bit of Pokemon Go. Although I got to say this event that they did, it was like some rock-type adventure event thing. It's pretty lame. I guess we just have a lot of rock-type Pokemon around here already. So
that's exactly
what
it is.
It's just like, it's the same shit. I didn't notice anything. It's like, oh, more Rhyhorns. Hooray.
That's how the water and grass events were for me in San Francisco. It's the same. It's just if you have what it's already there, you're not going to see a difference.
I just wish they would. Yeah, they have like, oh, there's going to be an Aerodactyl. I'm like, okay, cool. I don't have that. Let's catch that. Nope. Not seeing that anywhere. Fucking liars. So, yeah, it's been all right. I mean, I don't know. It's not as exciting as some of the other events that they've had. So I'll just look forward to the next one, I guess. And then, of course, you know, I got the new laptop, so I've been just slowly loading some stuff on there. Probably going to do some modded Skyrim because now I can mod the hell out of it and do all the fancy EMB stuff, but haven't bothered to do that just yet. I did try a couple things. One of the last games I picked up was a game called, it's hardly a game, but it's an application called Ultimate Epic Battle Simulator. It's basically this Unity game where you put tons of units down and you watch them battle against each other. So you can do ridiculous shit like, okay, it's 1,000 T-Rexes versus, you know, some archers and stuff like that. And it's just fun to watch. So I did that for about 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, I've seen that. Now I'm going to go do something else. So, of course, it's been a while since I went back to Grand Theft Auto. And so I picked up Grand Theft Auto 5 and I loaded on there and I started playing through the story again. So it looks fantastic on my laptop. And, yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to pick up Overwatch. I was going to pick it up this weekend, but I think we're going to get into a news story about it later. I'm going to wait a couple days.
Which is probably
a good idea.
Yeah. We can say it. The free weekend's coming up.
Yeah, the free weekend's coming up, and then they're doing, like, a Game of the Year edition.
Yeah.
So I'll pick up the Game of the Year edition when it comes out. And then Forza Horizon 3, I'm probably going to pick that up. I was going to pick up an Xbox One controller to go with it, but my fucking God, those are expensive.
I still use the 360 controller.
It was like $80 for the controller that doesn't fucking have a rechargeable battery. You got to buy a rechargeable battery for another $25. I'm like, why am I? I can either buy Forza Horizon or this controller. I'll just use the 360 controller. I don't need the fucking trigger rumbles. So I'm just going to hold off on that, but I'll eventually pick up Forza Horizon 3 because it looked pretty cool, and I think it should run pretty well in this. That's it.
Awesome. All right, let's go to JD. How was your gaming week? And JD, you've been really quiet tonight, and I can't fix it on the board, so just make sure that microphone's real close to your mouth.
Okay, is this better?
Yeah, much.
All right. It's been good. My sister came to visit me the past 2 weeks, so we've been playing a lot of local multiplayer on Switch. I have Mario Kart, I have Puyo Puyo Tetris, and we played Snipper Clips. So that's was like the first half of this week. And I've also been playing, you know, Street Pass games on my DS and Pokemon Shuffle and Pokemon Go and a couple other Pokemon games because I'm crazy like that. The arcade we went to was another definite highlight of my gaming week. I played a Groove Coaster, and I saw somebody posted, like, the last time you were there, there was a Crypt of the Necrodancer song, and so I had to play that one, and I thought it was a really neat take on the roguelike moving every beat mechanic, because they had
That song is also in Persona, the game that Jamie and Shane are obsessed with.
Danganronpa?
Danganronpa. Why am I thinking Persona? They kind of rhyme. Danganronpa, Persona, yeah. Kind of. Anyway, that song in Crypt of the Necrodancer is also in Danganronpa because Shane made me film it and tweet it at Jamie.
There were a couple of different songs on the machine that were labeled Crypt of the Necrodancer, and I'm not sure if it's because... I know one of them was definitely from the game itself, and I'm wondering if some of the other was just like the music person did like a remix of a different game song. I don't know, but the specific one I played from the game, like, there were a lot of notes where it was move the controller in an arrow direction on the beat, which really mimicked a lot of the way you're playing Crypt of the Necrodancer, where you're moving on the beat. And right. I thought that was a really neat crossover kind of a thing. I played Neon FM for the first time, which I'd like heard a bit about, but it was neat. It reminded me a lot of Poppin, like five key Poppin with, you know, flat pads. But it was a nice change. And yeah, there was a State Mania cabinet, so I got to play, you know, erotic songs that haven't been in arcades in years. So, you know, I filled the bowling alley with Oh Nick, Please Not So Quick and stuff like that.
During the kids' birthday party. It's good.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, they weren't running around exactly, mostly. There was also a DDR 2014, which I don't think was a mix that got released in the U.S., and they had Caramel Dancing, so I had to play that.
Curse you for doing so.
Yeah, all right. That was about it.
Nice. Let's see, my gaming week. So on a bit of a personal note, I hit affiliate status on my Twitch channel. So thank you guys very much for supporting. Because
what does that mean?
What does that mean? That means that now I can put that on my resume.
Now you get a dollar.
Yeah, literally now I can get a dollar. Now, and when I say give me a dollar, you can actually give me a dollar. It makes me eligible for bits, which are the currency on Twitch that...
So how do you do that? Like, if the podcast for enough time?
To hit the affiliate status?
Yeah.
There is, I think, four different criteria. You have to have at least 50 followers. So, you know, that's you guys that helped me make that. Thank you. You have to have at least 3 concurrent viewers over all your streams for the past month, for the past 30 days, which, again, because a lot of my streaming has been after OLR and I've been able to pick up a good, you know, 20 or so people watching right after OLR, that's been very helpful. So, again, thank you guys. You made that possible. Yeah, but I know that is the criteria that Flacco Jones, I think he thinks he's hung up on that right now, because I think in the beginning of the month, he didn't have a lot of people watching his stream. He's been picking up as he's been doing it more regularly, and he's thought of some other ideas. I think he's getting more viewers, so hopefully he's going to hit it soon too. But that is the trickiest one for people to hit, I think, is 3 concurrent reviews. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it can be for a new person starting out, especially when so many people are streaming, right? So was it 50 followers, 3 concurrent, 7 days in the past 30 days that you've done a stream, and then 500 minutes in the past 30 days of streaming, which is about, if you do like an hour and 15 minutes 2 or 3 times a week, you'll hit those criteria. So then it's kind of about just getting the followers and the viewers from there, which, you know, just takes a little time. But yeah, it makes me eligible for the bits, which you can either buy them through Twitch, you know, which a lot of people are doing, or you can watch the ads. You can watch an ad and you get like 5 bits or 10 bits every time you watch an ad. And what you can do is you can cheer a viewer. So if somebody decides to cheer my channel using the bits that they've got watching ads, then I get 1 cent for every bit that is cheered at me. So I've made, I think, about $5 so far streaming on Twitch. But you know what? Hey, I've been playing video games, having a good time, and honestly, I'm not doing it for the money. Let me straight. I've done this show for 15 years and haven't made a dime off this show. Any money that has been made during OLR, like, we've gotten some very generous donations over the years, like, but that all has gone right back into the show, buying a mixing board, paying for the, you know, VOG stream, paying for mics, whatever it is. Like, you know, all that money is gone back into the show. So, well, where was I going with that? Oh, yeah, I don't expect to make money off of streaming. But the nice thing about it is that I'm hoping what the affiliate status does is that maybe it's going to help with a little bit more additional visibility, because what I'm trying to do is get more people exposed to OLR and VOG through streaming. It's just kind of it's just like getting yourself out there is what it is. But, you know, I've been having fun playing games with people. So now you can kind of see some of the games I've been playing throughout the week, because I played Forza Horizon 3 one night. I played Diablo 3 again, but I did it on PC. So I was doing seasons this time around. I made my seasonal character. I got all the way to, I think, chapter 6. I think I'm in chapter 6 now on my seasonal character on Diablo 3. So yes, I'm still playing a lot of that. Still playing Final Fantasy 14, eagerly anticipating Stormblood, which is less than a month out now until early access. So that's really exciting. And yeah, that's pretty much everything that I've live streamed has really been. There hasn't been a lot that I didn't live stream that I played, except we played some Mario Kart 8 the other night, which I have to vent about a little bit because you know where I'm going with this. So JD brought a Switch over and I was like, cool, we'll be able to do like, oh, we can play Mario Kart. Like, I'll play on the TV and JD can play on the Switch. And it's like we're battling each other, right? Okay, so in theory, this should, you know, it's a Nintendo thing. It should just work, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, no, we're having connection issues out the wazoo. Like, we could not, like JD, to be fair, Alan and I were both playing on the TV, and then you were playing on your Switch device.
Right.
And we kept getting disconnected. Like, we couldn't even set, we got to do one race, and then it disconnected us right after.
Yeah.
Or it would disconnect us during the prep, or we would always get disconnected. We're like, what the hell's going on? So finally, it was just like, fuck it, just, we can do three people on the TV. We just ended up doing it that way. But then we tried again yesterday, but this time we said, okay, let's put, because your Switch was already in there, because you were playing Zelda on the TV while I was out doing something else. And so I was like, okay, I'll play on my Switch. And we got through a whole circuit. We got through four races and then got disconnected.
When we switched to battle, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then we tried to switch battle. But, like, it shouldn't fucking do this.
Yeah, it's stupid because it doesn't even have anything to do with the internet.
Yeah.
Like, this is just two Switches in proximity, like street passing or whatever. You know, like, it's near-field communication and it shouldn't be dropping like
and
that.
And this really concerns me because this was the feature that, like, I'm most looking forward to on Switch.
Right.
Is being able to do this all in one room like
this. I am totally shocked. Well, not shocked, actually.
You know, what we should do is we should try it with Puyo Puyo Tetris and see if it does the same thing.
See if it's the game or if
see if it's the game or the system or something else. You know, do some elimination testing.
Have you all tried this out in our chat? Since we do have a live chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, have you guys had some issues trying to do, again, not internet, but in same room trying to do some gaming on Switch?
I've had absolutely no problem with Puyo Puyo Tetris, but I have it on PS4.
Well,
that's not
what about Mario
help
Kart
our
8?
Situation. So, anyway. Let's see. ActDev says, I played with friends last night, two on TV and two on a Switch, and we didn't have any problems. So, yeah, it's, I don't know what's going on there. I feel like it might be something unique to my setup. Is it because the Switch is right near all the other electronics? Like, maybe my...
I feel like it shouldn't make a difference. Like,
maybe I need to move the dock away from the other electronics. You're right. It should make a difference.
It shouldn't make a difference.
But
the only thing
I can't think of what else it is.
Well, for NFR, the only things that could cause, like, any big problem with that would be if it's going through, like, concrete wall or the microwave's going.
No. You know,
you
maybe,
can't tell me what tell me that Switch can't do what a DS can do.
Or their Bluetooth.
I don't want to say this because I'm going to get judged by some people, but y'all can kiss my butt. It is sitting on top of my subwoofer. Would that be?
Oh, maybe.
Magnetic interference.
Ah,
you know, that might be it. We could try moving it around.
All right, that's going to be the first thing we try. Maybe we're going to try moving it around, get it off the subwoofer.
Also, sitting on the couch.
It doesn't sit on the subwoofer. It sits right next to it.
But it's near enough.
Yeah.
If there's interference.
I set the games on top of the subwoofer.
Yeah. Also, maybe line of sight might be a concern. You were sitting on the couch. Maybe the recliner would
okay,
be
better. Okay, but that's nothing.
Well,
that should.
I'm just saying if you're holding the console, like, against it or something, I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, maybe that's it. Maybe it's the subwoofer. Yeah,
speculation.
Yeah, I don't know.
Troubleshooting is so much fun.
It would be nice too if, I mean, to be fair, I mean, because you guys are probably all rolling your eyes going, Rob, you're such an idiot. Of course, you're subwoofer. But here's the thing. It would be nice if Nintendo, like, gave a little more description. Like, what is the communication error? Did a particular Switch drop? What's the fucking error? Like, give me something to help diagnose it a little better.
There's no error. It's a feature.
Shut up. All right. But anyway, I had to get that off my chest because that really concerned me, but we'll just hope it was my unique setup here in this household and not something that's going to be long ongoing. So anyway, let's move on and talk about some quick plugs, announcements. Of course, you can always follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. June is going to be a crazy month here at OLR. E3 is going to be taking over our episode on June 11th. No, literally, it is taking over our episode because Bethesda has their press conference right in the middle of the show. But as always, we're still going to do our thing here at VOG Network. We'll start the show, pause it during the Bethesda conference, then pick up right there with some live reaction and all that good stuff and your calls and all that stuff as well. The week after that, June 18th, we celebrate 15 years of Orange Lounge Radio. 15 freaking years of Orange Lounge Radio. You know, I need to look up when Orange Lounge Radio started on Live 365, because we launched the station a month before we launched the show, because we were just playing music, like building hype to the first like live event show that we were doing. And I want to say the station started, I feel like May 22nd was the day. I could be wrong, but I want to say it was late May. So we're technically, OLR is like 15 tomorrow.
So, but just when are we having show. Our quinceanera?
You can wear the dress.
No. I don't have a dress, so I'll just come and
make
drag.
One. All right, yeah, it's fine. Come and drag. So June 18th is going to be the big 15-year, because the first official episode of Orange Lounge Radio was June 23rd, 2002. So we're going to celebrate 15 years on June 18th. And then on June 25th, we will be rewarding our 15 years of Orange Lounge Radio by taking a day off. I will be in Chicago, and my co-host will be enjoying a day off.
I will probably be at San Francisco Pride.
That's right. You're doing San Francisco Pride. So, yeah, there's kind of busy. So we're spreading pride throughout the world because I'll be at Chicago Pride. So
we are.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So no show that day. And then
love and joy.
Then episode 700 is creeping up on us. And I am, you know, that is in the back of my head. Unfortunately, due to some personal life stuff going on, I was supposed to go check out that space that our folks here, Bree and Gabe, were talking about. I was supposed to do that yesterday, and I wasn't able to get around to it. So I'm hoping at some point I'm going to go over there, check it out. And we are exploring options for a place here locally we can do episode 700, like, as a more event-type show. So please look forward to it. Or something around episode 700. It may not be the actual show itself.
Is it going to be 700 Club-themed?
Fuck no.
Only if we get to beat an effigy of what's a fuck.
Well, here's the thing. Because of the missed weeks, I have to count out the weeks again, but because I think I got sick, episode 700 like might be freaking the week that like Dragon Con is supposed to be. So I have to figure all that timing out and all that good stuff. So more to come on that. But in the meantime, we've still got some gaming news to talk about. Let's get into the gaming news for the week. Loki.
Yeah, so this year we've got a brand new publisher that's going to be doing an E3 presentation. And I'm pretty excited to see this because you got to love them on Twitter. But Devolver Digital is going to be doing their event called Indie Picnic in the parking lot across from the LA Convention Center South Hall. And they said next door to Hooters.
Jesus.
I didn't realize there was a Hooters down there. That must be new. Basically, you know, they're saying that they're going to have their own E3 press conference. That the picnic, I guess, is going to be open.
Are they just going to stand on the corner and scream it? Like, what's...
I don't know. They're saying that, you know, it's going to be open to all E3 badge holders, and the event will be continuing through all through E3, 11 through 7 o'clock. Attendees can check out Devolver's lineup of games, and also there'll be where the Indie Mega Booth, XSplit, and Gambitious take place. And, yeah, so that's pretty cool that they're going to have, like, their own indie... they haven't announced, like, a time yet for the press conference, but stay tuned for that. I'm sure they're going to have to announce it pretty soon.
All right. Well,
that's awesome.
Any, like, games you're hoping to see out of them? I mean, a lot of, like, they have such kind of wild, different stuff over there. They pick up a lot of indie stuff.
Yeah, I just want something wild and cool. Like, honestly, I don't remember... I don't think they published Super Hot, but... I would love to see Super Hot VR make it to the PlayStation VR. That's what I would like to see, because the VR one looks pretty awesome for the Vive and the Oculus. So I'm kind of curious to see what that would be like on the PlayStation. Or I just really want to play it, you know, without buying an $800 fucking headset, and even the Oculus headset, it's like $600. That shit needs to come down in price. Like $300. That would be perfect.
Let's see. I'm going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwolf says, Devolver Digital has some former gathering of developers people, and they had the God lot before there were condos across the street from the LA Convention Center. It was the same kind of thing, except with more strippers, and I'm not kidding. There were stripper poles.
That's awesome.
Remember the days when it was the – was it the Ouya event that was there? What was across the street from the LA Convention? Was that Ouya the one year that like the Ouya
they
was
They had
the
Ouya. Yeah, no one gave a shit about Ouya.
Well, no, because I gave a shit about Ouya because it was one thing I could get into without a badge. I think that was the year I went and I picked up Bobby Blackwolf at E3, and then we went to Disneyland because I didn't actually go to E3 that year.
But we just went in the lobby and street passed. I was there for that, wasn't I? That was Electronica.
That was a different year.
Oh, okay.
We've done it more than once. So there it is.
Well, you're not going to do the Ouya event anymore.
I know. No, we're not. No, we're not. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about a rumor about what could be coming to smartphones. You know, Nintendo has been doing their smartphone thing. And Miitomo. JD still plays Miitomo.
Yeah, I log in every
day. Does Jamie
day,
still play?
Yeah.
You still play?
I was just checking in a moment ago.
Nice. Jamie answers more questions than I do.
My son plays the shit out of Super Mario Run.
And then Super Mario Run, you know, which I think Super Mario Run was more of a mixed bag of success. I think their expectations were just really high for that.
Wasn't there also a Fire Emblem game?
There was. I have not.
Dan's been playing it.
Yeah, I have not checked that out myself, but yeah, that's a thing. Well, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Nintendo is going to be bringing the Legend of Zelda franchise to mobile later this year. This will be after Animal Crossing, which we already knew was slated for mobile.
Clearly, they're going to bring the best Zelda of the entire franchise, Zelda 2 Adventures of Link.
I like Zelda 2, but A, playing that on a phone would be a disaster.
No, that's not the worst of the franchise. It would be Zelda Wand of Gamelon to be the...
Yeah, there you go. That's a better joke.
That's not canon.
Stick to that joke next time. Anyway, we don't know the game, what it is, the pricing structure, but this is all coming from the Wall Street Journal. Saying the news is from people familiar with the matter. It's like, you know, they've got leaks everywhere that the Wall Street Journal finds. Maybe this is something that could come out at E3, a little more information about, especially with the popularity of Breath of the Wild. This is a good thing to ride the coattails of. We will see. That'll be a pretty huge franchise for Nintendo, although granted they put Mario on the phone. You can't go much bigger than that, really. But Zelda's pretty close, especially with how well Breath of the Wild's been doing.
Nonstop Link.
Now, well, here's the thing. I would expect... It's not going to be a 2D. It's not going to be the original Zelda. It's not going to be Zelda Link to the Past or any of that stuff. Because you can't control that shit on a phone. It's going to be horrible controls, and I don't think Nintendo's going to sell it for that.
I disagree with that. You know why? Because if you played the DS versions, the Wind Waker-looking ones, those all use touchpad controls.
But those are... Hold on. I was getting to that, because those are different games. Those DS games, the Phantom Hourglass, completely different game. And that's the type of game that I would expect. It's going to be a rails shooter. But with Zelda.
No, it wasn't a rail shooter. Did you play those games? I mean, seriously.
It's kind of a joke, but yes.
Okay, you didn't... Obviously not, because they controlled really well for touch, which is surprising. I mean, they didn't really utilize the buttons at all. It was basically you hold the screen where you want Zelda to... Or Zelda... There you go, making a new mistake.
Yeah, now Link, who hadn't played the game.
Hey, you know what? Maybe they're going to have Zelda playable, because, you know, got to be fucking gender-inclusive, okay?
Have you ever watched the show?
I mean, seriously. Okay, so
take off that mask, Jamie.
So
I'd like to keep it on. Please.
You know, you control Link by, you know, basically holding the part of the screen. I mean, and you can attack by tapping, and it worked really well, which is kind of surprising. And from what I remember, they didn't really utilize buttons too much. But I mean, they could put a couple on-screen buttons if you really needed something for that. But I think they could do, for the most part, completely touch controls, and it would be fine.
Or they could just do a completely new idea, and that would be fine, too. Honestly, they, you know...
Or they could just put fucking Pokemon Snap on there, because really that's what it'd be fucking amazing with, like, the AR shit and
they
stuff.
They could do something in the Breath of the Wild world with all of the crazy stuff that you do in there, like, you know, using the
it'd
different
items. It'd be like
items,
Cooking Mama, but just Cooking Link.
What about, like, a dungeon solver type of thing, or the shrines? Like, a shrine solver type of thing that lends itself well to mobile phones? I don't know. There's different ideas they could do. It doesn't necessarily have to be a copy of something that already exists. But this is all really fan wank right now. We just don't know what is really going to happen with Zelda, so we'll just have to keep waiting till E3 to see if they talk about it then or if they wait on it. It might be, actually, I would think that this type of thing may not be in the E3 spotlight or whatever they're calling it. It might be something that shows up at Treehouse. Because remember, they showed Pokemon Go at Treehouse. And that was the first time they ever showed gameplay outside of beta on that.
And we have this stupid watch thing that we still don't sell regularly, even though it's been out for almost a year now.
It doesn't work very well anyway.
I still want to cheat with it. I wanted to take it apart and solder the fucking lights to the you know, the button so that every time it light up, it would click the button. Because that's what I do, is I find ways to exploit shit.
Yeah, look at you.
And it would have been satisfying to be able to lord that over them.
Moving on to another story. Dark Sakura, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, I have been looking at this game with some kind of mixed feelings, but it's about Sonic Forces. Well, you get to customize a character in Sonic Forces. You can have different species of animals with their own different abilities and the things that they carry with them and their own looks, different masks. So you basically get to play dress up in Sonic, which is going to open the door for a lot of cosplay.
You know, we've had a real running gag here on OLR about Sonic's shitty friends. Because, you know, the friends in the Sonic universe are not...
shitty friend.
You can be Sonic's shitty friend. It's amazing. Design your own shitty friend.
Not to sound insensitive, but this is... You could create a lot of furry characters out of this.
You could.
I said it nicely by saying...
If you want to act out your fursona in a Sonic universe, you go right ahead.
There's a lot of people who already do that shit.
Have fun. It ain't hurt nobody.
So now they just get to say, look, I'm canon. I'm in the game, I'm canon.
But seriously, though, it's like, you know, what's the solution? Sonic's shitty friends? Let's make an infinite amount of Sonic's shitty friends.
That's right. Make it now. It's you. Now you're the bad friend. So,
but now, like, I don't know if I hate the shitty friends now because I'm the shitty friend. I'm so torn.
But now here's the thing: is that everybody's going to make their own shitty friend, and then they're going to post their shitty pictures to social media through the Switch's, you know, Twitch and Facebook, and there'll be, look, I'm in a Sonic game,
Bobby,
or look,
says
my
we
fursona.
Can friend Sonic's butt.
Can you put your Mii's in there? Can we have Hitler Sonic's friend?
No, 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 no.
That's terribad.
Yeah, they need to have limitations on what you can do because otherwise, there's people that have done Mii's that are just cock and balls. There's people that have done Mii's that are, you know, Christmas and New Year's. It's all right there. So
it's just going to be a thing now, isn't it?
Yes.
I can't wait for December.
Moving on, you don't want to see Hanukkah. All right, that lasts.
It's
for
a lot of blue.
That's right. Moving on, Loki.
All right. So Ubisoft has made some announcements prior to E3. Some things I guess we're going to be seeing more of during their press conference. But the two big announcements: Far Cry 5 and The Crew 2 are going to be coming soon. So. And apparently, maybe a new Assassin's Creed, because I think that they took the year off, so now we'll see something like that. I think we had the rumor that it was open world or something. So yeah. I guess we'll see what's going to happen. But apparently, yeah, those three are due to be released this fiscal year.
That's pretty cool that The Crew is getting a sequel after all, because I didn't think the first game did that well, because it was like bargain basement time.
That went like pretty cheap to play pretty fast.
Yeah, so I didn't think that lent well to it. I mean, I'm not dogging the game. I just, you know, to be fair, I think a lot of people I knew that did kind of spend time with the game enjoyed it. So I'm not saying it was a bad game or unworthy of a sequel, but I was surprised with how fast they slashed the price that it's doing well enough to, you know, necessitate a sequel. But, you know, hopefully maybe they'll do what they need to do to make it, you know, so that more people want to drop 50, 60 bucks on it right away. Dungeon Buster in chat says, I hope they fix the rubber banding and magnetic tires in The Crew. The game was kind of fun, but wow, issues. So, yeah, you
can
never
we just like never ever do rubber banding ever again? No one likes it. Who actually likes rubber banding? Nobody. Just like get rid of it. It's a cop out. for programming better driving AI.
Make it something you can enable and disable. I don't know. Yeah, Tiger Claw in chat says every racing game has rubber banding, like it or not.
I don't like it.
Yeah, that's right. I choose not to like it, so I started a podcast about it. All right, something I like, though, that I like talking about on the podcast is Overwatch. And Overwatch, believe it or not, is turning a year old. It feels like that game's a lot older, but I think, you know, it just seems so cemented in gaming now and, you know, with all the streams about it and soon that league that they're talking about. But Overwatch is coming up with their Game of the Year edition on Tuesday, May 23rd is when that Game of the Year edition comes out. It's going to be coming with 10 bonus loot boxes. Some new hero skins, Blackwatch Reyes and Strike Commander Morrison skins. You can also get some of the stuff that I think was in the original Overwatch Origins Edition, like the Pharah skin and some of that other stuff. That is going to be available on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. But they're also going to be running an anniversary event in the game. They haven't really said much more about, like, what are the skins going to look like. There are some voices that showed up, but that's all we know. So we don't really know exactly what all the extra stuff is going to be with that yet. But, yeah, very cool that game is, you know, still doing strongly after a year. I'm kind of curious how they're going to keep the momentum going a few years from now. But, you know, so far they're doing really well. And, hell, I'm still playing Diablo 3, and that game's, you know, what? That was like 2008, 2009 at this point. So that's, getting to be an older game. So no, I don't think it's that old, but still, it's still several years old at this point.
Can we get a Diablo 4 pretty soon?
I wish.
Maybe that's one of the under construction things.
I kind of thought...
Or you think we'll see just more like character classes or something
for Overwatch?
Yeah. Diablo.
Well, the Necromancer for sure is coming. So they already announced that. Right. So that I still feel like it's going to be a couple years before we even see Diablo 4. But I don't know. I don't know. Anyway. Let's see. ActEft in chat says it was Game of the Year in 2016. So, yeah. I don't think I mentioned it in that story, but I know it's part of this, too. They are doing a free play weekend over Memorial Day weekend of all times, too. So if you've never played Overwatch, you have a chance. And you can do it. This is the first time I think they've done the free play on PC. I know they've done it on console a couple times, but I think this is the first time they're doing it on
PC. I've never played it.
So. Yeah, no, I'm excited to have you check it out, see what you think.
And I'm going to use controller like a complete noob because I don't have a place to put my computer where I can actually use a mouse, nor do I have a mouse.
Ooh, that's going to be rough, but good luck.
Fuck that. I'm fucking awesome with controller.
Fair enough.
I think they did do free play on a PC a while back because that was when Ryan tried it, and then he got the game after.
Maybe they did. I just don't remember it, you know.
It was definitely a while ago, like 6 months or something.
Yeah, and I bought the game straight away, right. So I wouldn't have been paying attention to that, so... let's see, SSG100 Matt saying, I remember a chatter in here saying that Overwatch wasn't going to stick around because Blizzard can't do shooters. I wonder how that worked out. Well, I think the reason why Overwatch is kind of working is because it's more than just a shooter. Like, they do have characters in there that you can play if you're not much of a shot. You know, a character like Symmetra is really about where you place the turrets, and you don't even really have to be able to aim to attack with Symmetra's gun. And that makes her a very attractive player for some people. A healer like Mercy, you don't really have to be able to aim. You support other characters. Lucio is all about an aura. You know, it's a healing aura or a boost aura. So you don't necessarily have to be a good shot. And I think that's what has made it very, very, very attractive for a lot of people. So, but if you want to play, you fucking have Widowmaker, who's a sniper, and, you know, Soldier 76 is just basically your Call of Duty character, you know, so they have that stuff in there, too, if that's what you're into, so. All right, and, SSG100 Matt says, they find new ways to reinvent the game all the time. And ActEft even suggests for Loki, start with Soldier 76, because that will...
Okie doke.
Yeah, that'll be the most familiar, probably, from other shooty games, so. All right. We will move on. Just a few more stories for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week. But first, Dark Sakura.
This is something I've been considering contributing to ever since I found out. But Project Rap Rabbit is set for PC and PS4. And it has a Kickstarter on it with a $1.1 million goal. I see them making it. No problem. But there's actually quite a few tiers on there, and several of them seem actually fairly affordable. One of the digital tiers is like maybe $30 for the game, And then, like, for, like, 70, there's one that has art books and stuff with it. I wouldn't mind having the art book for it, although Dan says I have 50 million art books for games I haven't played. So, but...
good. What's one more?
But at any rate, basically, it's... RapRabbit is actually taking inspiration from what it's been commented on, like, Epic Rap Battles of History, where it's a rapping dialogue, not like necessarily a battle, but a dialogue. And you've got like different verses that you can throw in and not just doing whatever is there already in the song. So it definitely looks cool and definitely is something that I think is going to be getting money from you on Kickstarter.
So I see some people in chat talking about the Switch version of this. So here's the thing that happened to that. So when it was originally on Kickstarter, they posted all of their stretch goals. And like the last stretch goal on there was like a 5.5 million stretch goal, and it would say Switch version.
Yeah.
And the Nintendo fanboys screamed, basically, which I kind of get. I mean, that was a lot of money to do a Switch version. Mm-hmm. So they've actually changed it. And if you go back to the Kickstarter today, Switch is now the first stretch goal with 1.5 million to get the Switch version, which, you know, the game would definitely be attractive, I think, if it was on the Switch, but...
Well, and a little bit more about the characters, that the main character is called Totomaru, who is basically a farm boy rabbit and wants to battle the forces of corruption. And his sidekick is named Otamamaru.
I'm in a really difficult place with this thing. I love these companies. I love these, like, you know, Nana Onsha, I love these companies. There's so much talent going into this. That being said, I'm kind of done backing big studio Kickstarters. I realize these studios aren't big, but like, I'm not interested in buying the game today that's not going to come out for 4 years. And I know they say, oh, we have a path to get it out by such. Sure you do, buddy. They all do. Now, indies, and we've talked a lot about indie Kickstarters on this show, I feel a lot differently about, okay? But something of this caliber, especially for these guys that have done PlayStation games before and so forth, like, I'm just kind of shocked they can't get a publisher to sign on to this. Like, I don't know. Like, where's your guys' heads at with this? Like, Jamie, you said you were thinking about contributing to it, so you must be a little more forgiving.
I'd rather that they raise the money themselves this way and go independently for a publisher, just because I've seen publishers fuck stuff up.
You know what? I know what it is. I know what bothered me about it. It actually did have to do with the Nintendo thing. I thought it was weird that the game was a PlayStation 4 and a PC exclusive. Because my head went to, if it's a PlayStation 4 exclusive, Sony should be paying for it. Not me. Now, I realize the Switch thing has changed a little bit, so I don't feel that as much anymore. But definitely when I first loaded the page, that was a huge misfire on their part to be like, we'll do Nintendo Switch if we get $5 million. Because I'm kind of like, if you're going to stay exclusive to one platform, then that platform should be fronting the money for it. And where the hell is Xbox One? I kind of get it's Japanese developed, so that question's kind of, I get it. But
it probably is never.
Yeah, I know.
It could also be based off what dev kits they have. Maybe they have a PlayStation 4 dev kit.
That could be. But I still couldn't help but feel a little bit of like, why am I paying for something that is going to be exclusive to one system, you know, and all this stuff. And I feel like there's Kickstarters I've contributed to a long time ago. Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night is a good example. Still not out. And I'm sure the game's going to be fine and it's, you know, all that stuff, but it's like, I'm not interested in making this 4 year long investment. I'm sorry. I know some people strongly disagree with me, but I kind of just don't want to give my money away like that. I want something a little more immediate, I think. Bobby Blackwolf says they will still have a publisher. 1.1 million isn't enough to make the game. Same with Shenmue 3. They still have other investors. And they say, he says, P Cube is the publisher. So we have gone to great lengths and are planning an early work to minimize this risk. Between the shared experience of developers Nana Onsha and Innes and publisher P Cube's platform holder relationships and merchandise production know-how, we're confident that all the pieces are in place to ship Project RapRabbit along with all physical backer rewards by August 2018. I even with all that in front of me, I don't believe it. And honestly, And it sucks, but you can kind of blame Mighty Number 9 for a lot of it. A lot of it. I think Mighty Number 9 done fucked up Kickstarter.
Is it making you cry like an anime fan on prom night?
Yes. But again, when it comes to indies, I feel a lot differently. And indies sometimes need that little push. Like, I get it. The ones that have been on here that are like, I need that artist, or I need that, you know, or my game is fucking done. I need the money to do the distribution, all that stuff. I'm kind of like, okay, well, you've never done a game before. You've clearly been working on something. You've got, you know, I feel a lot differently with the smaller people. Maybe that's just my whole yay indie type of nature anyway. But these other things, I have a harder time with. I don't know. Dungeon Buster in chat says, hitting so many tiers also tends to stretch dev time. If I recall correctly, Iga for a Bloodstained even confessed that all the milestones they have achieved have padded their estimates. Never take the initial release dates on Kickstarter literally. Yeah. So I don't know. I couldn't help but feel a little burned when I saw that it was a Kickstarter, because I was thinking, oh, it's going to be a big E3 announcement. Yes, I realize Kickstarters are E3 announcements now. We do live in that world ever since Shenmue 3. But when they were talking this whole thing, what was it? The little tagline, make music games great again and all this stuff. I was like, oh.
Please don't say that.
Music games are already great.
I was like, please don't say that. B, like, with a line like that, I would have thought your game was ready to go.
Maybe. Well, then again, with a line like that, maybe they're channeling the one that said it originally.
I wouldn't go that far. But
well,
anyway.
Like, I get it. Like, you know, especially when you're like an indie developer, you want to get the hype and the community built up around your product early. But I just get annoyed. It's like, yeah, we have this really kick-ass product that's not going to be out for 2 years. It's like, why did you just, like, show me this when it's more ready? Did they have, like, video of what it looks like, or is it just all concept shit right now?
Screenshots, video. I don't think they actually do. They have the game running on that Kickstarter.
I didn't look that far.
When I looked at it, I looked at it on my mobile, and I couldn't actually play videos. I know they had screenshots. They had a lot of that stuff, but I don't know if they actually have the game, the actual product, up there. But I don't want to go on record saying they don't.
That makes me wary that early. I mean, I'm
okay. It's Bobby says it's all concept. It's all whiteboard. So. Yeah, I know.
I'll play it when it comes out.
I will be, you know what, if the game is good, I will be the first one to plop down the money for it the day it comes out. Good luck. I hope they're able to pull
off. Well, if you think about it, like, what is really the advantage here? I mean, what? It's just, you get some extra crap. I mean, why should I risk myself? I mean, as it is, games that come out day one from AAA studios are risky investments as it is, considering how broken some of them could be at launch. Why am I going to put risk in a game that may never even come out? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense that you want my money. I mean, I know that you need to fund it and stuff, but then again, you don't need to fund it. I don't know. It's almost like we got to show that these publishers that people are interested in this game. No, that's a publisher's job to figure that shit out. Yeah. Why do they have to show interest in it?
All right. I'm glad somebody in chat got my joke, by the way. Come on, confide in me, says, my name is Sky, and I've got something to say. That's right.
I got your joke, Rob.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Diddy. My name's Rob Roberts, and I got something to say.
That part.
Amplitude done fucked up Kickstarter. Because there's another game that I'm sorry. It was not as good as we all hoped it was going to be. I'm sorry. Straight up. Anyway. Let's move on. We got more stories for you, Loki.
All right. So Netflix has a lot of interesting shows coming out. You know, they just showed this week was a new Dark Crystal series. It's going to be kind of a prequel,
yes,
which looks pretty cool. Something else that's also in the pipeline that's a little bit more game related and seems proper for Netflix. They're going to be a new series based on The Witcher, the fantasy series. Of course, you know, it is a book series as well as, you know, the game series. But they're saying that they're going to be having, you know, I guess they have the executive producers Sean Daniel and Jason Brown, who are known for a show called The Expanse, which I have never seen nor heard of. Then they're going to be following, I guess, it sounds like the books. So it'll be interesting.
I don't know if you guys have all seen the pictures on Twitter, but it's very clear that Julian Assange is going for the lead role in this from his latest look. I don't know if you all have seen that.
Such
his
an
latest
awful
pictures.
Bullet.
Yeah. So,
can we get? I mean, because like The Witcher has some sexy stuff in there. Are we going to get?
There's going to be so many boobs in this show.
Sweet.
It's not a Witcher game unless
sign me up movies. Because you know we need some Game of Thrones replacements when that's done.
You can have that as long as this time when he stands up in the tub, I don't want no suds. So anyway. So yeah, William Murderface in chat says Witcher hype. Yeah, I think this. You know, the direction and the way the stories are told in The Witcher and all that is really, really well done. If they bring some of that to a television show, like seriously, it does have the ability to be something on a Game of Thrones esque kind of level. It really does. I think the source material for The Witcher, which I understand is also based off a novel series, so there's all that we have to consider as well. But I think it could. Do really well in a way that video game, you know, media hasn't really been done before. Although, is it really video game media if it was all a book to begin with?
But remember, we have Castlevania coming too.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Can we get boobs
crossed
in that too? Oh, boobs
and
everything.
Why not? Boobs and everything. Why not?
Well, look at the original artwork for Symphony of the Night.
That's
granted,
right. Succubus.
That's right.
Granted, the Dark Crystal is going to be a little awkward, but I mean, it's necessary in order to keep a certain level of quality across all Netflix shows.
All right. One more story for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week. This one's a very modern game, actually. I know a lot of people were really hyped for the Destiny 2 event that they had earlier this week, where they showed some footage of the game and showing off all the features coming to Destiny 2. Destiny 2, of course, is going to be coming out for the PC as well as the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. No longer on PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360, although that doesn't surprise anybody. But it will be coming out on the consoles, early September, I think was the date in the console, right? September 8th for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. There is no release date for PC yet. It will not be out, it sounds like, the exact same day, September 8th. But here's what is really interesting about the PC version of Destiny 2.
It's better than both the other versions.
Well, that's one. That's an opinion. But the other thing is also, I think, interesting is that it's going to be released on Battle.net. Dun, dun, dun. Wait a minute. Isn't Battle.net Blizzard's thing? Yes, but remember who owns Blizzard? Activision. It's Activision Blizzard.
What does Activision like? Greed.
That's right. So no more 30% cut from the Steam store by releasing that thing on Battle.net. And also, you guys, and this is something I don't see, this is something I don't see any of the press really getting into, that I think is a huge element of this and why they're going to the Battle.net launcher for all this. I mean, sure, the fact that they'll get to keep the cut of all the digital sales and all that, that's a great perk, I'm sure. You guys, I think, sometimes severely underestimate the Blizzard fandom. And
don't underestimate the dark side.
Don't underestimate the fucking Blizzard fandom. Don't. Because they're fucking crazy. And I say that as a Blizzard fan. I do. I love Blizzard fans. I had a great time at BlizzCon. But they're nuts. And I mean that in a good way. Because, and why do I say it that way? Because why do you think something like Overwatch was as successful as it was? Because it got people that were playing World of Warcraft, that were playing Diablo, that were playing, to say, hey, here's a shooter from this same company that I love that's coming out, and I want to try this, or this team-based game, you know, objective game or whatever. You don't want to call it a shooter. And I want to try this out. One game I didn't talk about during my gaming week that I actually have been playing quite a bit of is Heroes of the Storm. Why have I been playing Heroes of the Storm by Blizzard? Because I want the fucking loot boxes for Overwatch that you get by playing a bunch of matches with friends. That's really what it boils down to. So Blizzard, very, 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 very good at doing the synergy thing, and here, come try our free game to get stuff in the other game and all this stuff. Now, not that I'm saying that Destiny 2 is necessarily going to be a part of that, although this certainly does open the door for Destiny characters to start showing up in Heroes of the Storm. Just saying.
Overwatch
is kind of its own universe. You don't exactly see the Lost Vikings running around in Overwatch. So, but Heroes of the Storm is kind of that mixing pot for all the Blizzard things. I'm just saying, it opens the door to it. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It opens the door to it. But also, I mean, and this is another huge thing, too, is that if you're playing World of Warcraft, which a lot of people still are, some people are selling their Warcraft gold for real money through this Blizzard token. So they have this Blizzard balance that they're building up, which most people are using to therefore buy Overwatch loot boxes. But now they could save that money and buy copies of Destiny 2, because that's going to be through Battle.net. And you know what? After they announced this, that Destiny 2 is going to be a part of Battle.net, the prices in gold of those WoW tokens went through the fucking roof. Because you've got a ton of players now who are trying to save up money in their Battle.net balance so they can basically buy Destiny 2. And Blizzard's still making money because somebody's buying those WoW tokens to, you know, then that money is getting basically reallocated to purchasing Destiny 2. So, Dungeon Buster in chat says Destiny normally doesn't do any cross promotion. Well, it's a crazy world out there. It's a different game, and this is gonna be very, very, very interesting for PC. Also, some other things that should be mentioned about PC. There's like the full on 4K on PC, right? I didn't see a lot of the. Oh, here it is. On PC, Destiny will support 4K. That's 3820 by 2160, uncapped frame rate, custom key mapping, text chat. And now that it's on Battle.net, if I'm playing Destiny 2, I can send Dark Sakura a message through Battle.net while she's playing World of Warcraft. And I can send her a message. And I can say, like, it's a lip sync, Jamie. What part of that don't you understand?
I'd like to keep it on, please.
And then there's an adjustable FOV, field of view, detailed PC setting screen, 21:9 monitor support, and so on. So, I mean, all this just basically cemented for me, oh, yeah, I'm skipping consoles and I'll be buying this on PC. Like, I kind of fell off the Destiny wagon because expansion. But I'm willing to give it another go with Destiny 2, because Destiny 2 at least is going to hit the reset button on all that, because, you know, none of that stuff carries over. So yeah, I want to try it with mouse and keyboard on PC.
I never really played the first one. I have it. I just never played it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tiger Claw does point out and say, you'll need a good graphics card if you want to play in 4K. Yes. Yes, you will need a good graphics card if you want to play in 4K. I actually don't even have a 4K monitor, so that's not going to do me a lick of good. But maybe I'll buy one for Christmas or something.
I don't know if it's worth it for 4K price. Stick with what you got.
Oh, Bobby has no shame at all, saying that in the Battle.net system, I could send Jamie a message while she's playing. Wow. I'm playing a game by Bungie. Its immediate predecessor is a very classic game. We should feature it.
If only you could see.
She's got one finger flying right now for you, Bobby. All right.
I'm saluting you.
Well, let's see what she did pick for the classic game of the week this week. Every week, Dark Soccer jumps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, put down your Destiny, sign out of Battle.net and play this, because this game's not on Battle.net and it's awesome. All right, Dark Soccer, what is the classic game of the week?
This is a game I spent a shitload of time playing in the arcade. Like, a lot. I was kind of hooked on this game.
We already did Dance Dance Revolution.
Girl. APB. All Points Bulletin came out in 1987 by Atari. Atari Games at the time. Where you play Officer Bob, not the drag queen. who is a rookie police officer, and you have to go through different parts of the game. One of them is you go through and you pull people over for minor infractions. Well, you ticket people for minor infractions with a little targeting system. Or you can pull over bad offenders, and then eventually you get down to where you apprehend criminals when they put out an APB. The cabinet is a neat little cabinet. It looks kind of like a police car, where it's got the siren lights above on top, has a gas pedal, a steering wheel, and even a little seat, which I think some of them had a seat. I remember playing one that didn't have it. It really is just a cartoony little game, but it's not easy. It is not an easy game. In fact, even the developers said that over the development cycle, the gameplay got a lot more complicated than they originally had it planned. It did have some other home releases, but let's get a little bit more into the game itself, which I think is funny because you play as Car 54. Do you remember that show?
Where Are You?
Exactly. That had, what's his face, that played Herman Munster?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name, but yeah, I remember.
I'll have to look it up again, but yeah, he was one of the officers in that show. I mean, and I wasn't around when Car 54 Where Are You was on TV, but it did come on Nick
at
Night.
Not that old, bitches. But yeah, Nick at Night used to run all those shows when we were kids.
Totally did.
Yeah.
So,
Dennis the Menace from like the 50s was like prime time on Nickelodeon.
When they thought that to make kids cute, they had to scream, "Hey, Mister Warren!" So on top of this is also like every old stereotype. You get bonuses for a perfect day where you arrest over the quota, and you can pick up donuts that extend your time limit for the day.
I know donuts extend my time limit for the day.
Donuts expand my ability to even.
And they expand my waistline.
Right? Anyway, you can also drive through filling stations to refuel your patrol car. You can also upgrade your patrol car with brakes, guns, armor, radar. Dude, you could... I just keep thinking of this police car turning into, like, something from Road Warrior, you know? So you start off by ticketing for common misdemeanors, like littering. You pull up behind them, tell them to bend over. I'm kidding. Then you press the siren button and then have them pull over. Sometimes you have to kind of... over and over. Speeding... comes into the game later, and you also have to arrest different fugitives, and then you have to violently shake them to get a confession out of them before the chief enters the room, and you have a confesso meter.
Unless it's a baby, don't shake the baby.
Don't shake the baby. God, Rob. Now I'm all sad because I see that little baby's face. Anyway, if you, your life gauge is kind of like a demerit meter. So if you hit that, then you get too many demerits, you are fired. So you can get fired in the game. And you earn those by colliding with cones or other vehicles when your siren is off, shooting non-offender vehicles, running into donut huts and pedestrians, running out of gas, and failing to get a confession. You can also get demerits when your car explodes, or when you get hit by a train, or high-speed collisions, you know, just all kinds of shit. So basically you have to be perfect. The seat that I was talking about, by the way, it looks like it was detachable, and I remembered because the first version I played didn't have the seat on it. APB had a really long development process, though, like I mentioned earlier. And so as it went on, they added so many things to it that it really became complicated, much more so than they had envisioned. It was pretty well received for the time. It had great high-resolution graphics. The cabinet design was fairly new, especially with having the flashing lights on top. It really made it attractive. And its difficulty was something that kept people going in to try to master it, you know. So... there were home versions, mostly developed by Tengen. There was a version on GameCube. Actually, I'm getting way ahead of the original releases. The original home versions were Amiga, Atari ST, Commodore 64, ZX Spectrum in 1989. And then there was an Atari Lynx version that came out in 1991, which I think I have it. I'll have to ask. For the later versions, we had a GameCube version, PS2, and Xbox as part of Midway Arcade Treasures 2, and a PC as Midway Arcade Treasures Deluxe Edition, and later on was part of the Midway Arcade Origins in 2012. And there you go, APB. That's the game.
I have to admit, I've only played the slightest bit of this. I think it was in one of those like Midway collection things, because you know they have all the old Atari games in those too, like the... this is totally the same hardware. It's like 720 and some of those other games from that era. Yeah,
the same era.
Yeah, so I think this isn't one of those. I've only played like the slightest bit of it. But yeah, I remember it being freaking hard.
It is, but it's super fun.
Yeah.
And I mean, just the cabinet itself, you know. It when we got one at my Aladdin's Castle, that shows you how long ago it was when I first saw this one. Which I ended up eventually working at when I was in college. So... But there amongst the carpeted walls and everything was this shiny new game, and I really enjoyed it. Yes, it had carpeted walls. The arcade.
Nice.
Had carpeted walls.
It keeps soundproofing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But true story, carpeted walls at roller rink, I tore up my jeans and my knee going at high speed into one of those walls. So I have bad memories of carpeted walls.
Ouch. All right, there it is, your classic game of the week, APB. All right, a good from a real, a much better era of Atari than some of our more recent memories. Although those flashback consoles are still pretty sweet, for what it's worth. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, but we have plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including release dates, your emails, and some more news stories, and your calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. And we'll be back after this with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, episode 687, already in progress for this May 21st, 2017. If you are joining us late, well, shame on you for being here late. No, just kidding. I know there's a lot of other stuff going on tonight. Hey, even I, as well, want to watch that Twin Peaks reboot, which started tonight. But thankfully, there's ways to do that online. They got this the Hulu thing, the Amazon thing. There's a lot of ways to do that. So I just have to figure out which one's going to work for me and be watching that pretty soon. I'm really excited about that, as I'm sure a lot of you guys are as well. Any other shows I should be watching? There's a lot of stuff.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, Kimmy Schmidt season 3. I still need to finish season 2.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, my wife quit in season 2 as well, so I don't know.
Yeah, I need to finish Sense8 season 2 as well. I started it, and I liked... Well, the Christmas episode was just basically... The Christmas episode was practically like the VR thing we were talking about earlier with Christmas and New Year's, and it really was the Christmas episode. I watched the first episode as well, and it was good. I liked it. I liked the way it ended, so I need to watch more Sense8, and even Shane is... You know, bugging me about it. He's like, I'm going to ruin it for you if you don't finish it.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is worth a watch.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know that one.
So
it's hilarious. It's well written, and they got musical numbers in every show. I mean, but it's seriously very well
written. The pilot episode has a song called the Sexy Getting Ready Song.
Okay. Sounds good. Oh, some folks in chat suggesting, Bobby Blackwell suggesting the MST3K reboot. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, though, I've been kind of spoiled with riff tracks. It's kind of hard to go back to that, but I'll have to give it another try.
I watched the first episode of the Bill Nye Science Show.
Yeah,
it was okay. It was okay.
I hear he's a bit preachy, though.
It's a little bit, but I hope they give him another season. You know, I think it maybe just needs a little time to work out some of the kinks. So I hope they give him another season. So. But I liked it. I liked it. I just didn't love it. Like a lot of Netflix shows, I'm like, oh my God, these are so good. Oh, what's the other? It's not Netflix, but it's Hulu. Everybody is telling me
watch it.
Yes, The Handmaid's Tale. Everybody is like, fucking watch it, but just be ready to just want to cry for hours and hours after you watch like the first couple episodes. I don't know. I guess there's it's too real.
Have you read the book?
It was fine for me. No, of course not. I don't read a lot of books.
Books.
Well, I mean, it came out like, you know, 30 years ago, so yeah. It's not new.
No.
I had actually started it when I was in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And had to put it down. I haven't picked it up since, but
I
planned
intense.
On going back. Because, I mean, I could read The Divine Comedy, you know, in middle school, but yet that book hit me hard.
Yeah.
So I had to put it down. I'm going to try to pick it back up and finish it now that I'm, you know, way grown.
For a book that was written in the 80s, you know, about, you know, current events and future predictions, it's held up extremely well and mm-hmm. terrifyingly so.
Yeah. And then what was the other thing I was going to mention? Dang it, with all these on-demand things. So, well, let me go to chat, I guess, since I can't remember what it is. Brad from Pod Culture says, Gotham is okay. I watched like half the first season of that, and yeah, okay is a good word to describe it.
Not watching any of the DC shit until Wonder Woman comes out.
I'm hearing the movie is getting good reviews out the gate. That's good.
It is.
Yeah.
But I also hear that it's the only good thing in their cinematic universe.
Which would all... Well, unless we count the Nolan Batman movies, because I thought those were great. I liked all of them. Not even just the Heath Ledger one. I liked them all. I really did.
Didn't they reboot that universe away, though? Like, they do every couple of years?
Well, they were supposed
to do... That was the Christian Bale one?
They were going to do a Batman with Batfleck, but I don't know if that's actually happening or not.
I maybe.
And Brad from Pop Culture does have a good point. He says DC television is way better than the DC movies.
That would also require a time commitment that I would be taking away from.
At least,
you know, that I would be taking away from finishing Luke Cage and Iron Fist and Daredevil before Defenders comes out.
That's my problem with TV. TV is such a huge time
because
sink.
I only give a shit about things that involve Jessica Jones.
I've heard that it's safe to skip Iron Fist and you're not missing anything.
I've always liked Iron Fist, and I read a good bit of Iron Fist and Power Man in like the early 80s. What I want to see is a Misty Knight and Colleen Wing series. I want to see Daughters of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. That would make me so happy. So make it happen.
I remember what I was going to say about Hulu. So I tried watching a show on Hulu. Well, Hulu does have the Golden Girls, so we're thankful for Hulu for that. But I tried watching a show that Shane or somebody thought I would like called Difficult People. And I thought it was so, like, I really tried to, I watched a good, like, 7 or 8 episodes of it. And I'm like, this show is just not funny. Like, people.
Like Seinfeld not funny?
It bothers me in shows when people don't talk right. Like, and that was the problem in Difficult People, was that they would talk about something and then it was like, oh, here's this completely like side reference to a pop culture event that maybe 2% of America is familiar with type of thing.
That's not talking to me.
That's which I understand kind of why that type of show exists in that format. It's like Family Guy in real life almost. It's kind of like,
oh, so it's not bad funny the way that Seinfeld wasn't funny.
Yeah, no, no.
Okay. But
then the other show, and this is the one that gets me, and I swear I'll get back to video games, but TV's important too.
But
yo,
this is important too.
Okay, here's the thing. I have to say this. Gilmore Girls is the other show I can't fucking watch because of that. I tried watching Gilmore Girls, and people love Gilmore Girls. I tried watching it, and I'm like, people don't fucking talk like that. It is driving me up a fucking wall the way they talk on the show. Anyway, sorry, Jamie, but I had to get that off my chest.
Well, you said Golden Girls. Did you see Golden Girls Clue?
Oh, of course.
Like that people posted it to your wall.
Thank you for noticing. Yes, two people posted it to my wall, which is I never get mad and I never go and say somebody else beat you to it because I go, I'm touched that people think of me when they think of the Golden Girls. The only thing I have to say about Golden Girls Clue is, could they not afford Estelle Getty's license or likeness? Like, what the fuck is up with that box art? Like, she doesn't look right
at
all.
And it's really just going to be, who did Blanche do?
In which room
and with what prophylactics?
Come on, confide in me. And chat says, binge the British version of Queer as Folk. Oh, I saw it years ago.
I love all the Doctor Who references in that
show.
Yes,
actually, yeah.
Like when he's at the pub and his coworkers like, exterminate.
I think I watched that around the time that the Eccleston Doctor Who episodes were coming out, and somebody told me that it was the same director, and I was like, after watching the British Queer as Folk, I was like, oh, well, that's fucking obvious. This guy is a total boner for Doctor Who, clearly.
Russell
T. Davies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that did that. And then there was the American Queer as Folk, which was
Too many good British shows get ruined when they're Americanized.
It was a thing that we had in the olden days, 10 years ago, for representation. And boy, we've come a long way. Let's just leave it at that. I would say for British shows coming to America, The Office wasn't bad, but I love the British Office. The Menomina scene, like, cracked me up so fucking hard on the British Office, like, in just ways that TV here never makes me laugh that hard.
You know what else got fucked up?
Hmm.
Being Human.
Hmm.
I watched the shit out of that, out of the British version. And then we got the US one, and I tried to watch the first episode. Like, no, I can't.
But did you know that the first episode of The Office in the US and the first episode of The Office in the UK are the same, like, script? Like, they might have done some cuts because the commercials is different over there. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was, like, the same script. And I was like, wow, it's so different, though. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of that is just the strength of Ricky Gervais versus, you know, why can't I think? Steve Carell. Yeah. You know, and just kind of, like, how they
that
are.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. Anyway. All right, we got to move on, y'all. We got to move on. Let's get back into some gaming news. We're going to do some rapid fire news. Loki.
Yes. So this is kind of an interesting experiment, but you know, goes to show you can watch almost anything on Twitch. So they have this cool neural network named Charles. And what Charles does is it's learning how to drive, I guess, self-driving cars almost in Grand Theft Auto 5. So basically, it's basing all the data off of what it sees in the actual screenshots and everything to make its decision. So you can actually watch it drive and or drive poorly, because that's kind of what happens sometimes. But it's pretty interesting. So that's one thing you can check out on Twitch. And then, of course, it's the user you'd want to look for is ScentDex is the guy that's hosting that. So check that out, because it's kind of interesting. I watched a few minutes of that and I was entertained. And then finally, we're going to get a release date for South Park, The Fractured Butthole. That's going to be coming out in October. So October 17th is when it's going to be coming out. And with that, they have released a new trailer, which I do need to watch. And I do want to pick up the game, because the first one was awesome.
Do we think it will actually come out?
I think this time, yeah. I think it's ready.
Yeah. I hope so too, and I know a lot of people are looking forward to that game, and really I'm one of them. I think it's going to be a good game. So,
yeah.
All right. By the way, I have to answer this in chat because this is important. Ragenator in chat says, "Speaking of Twitch, I've heard that every episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is coming to Twitch. You're late to the party, Ragenator. It's been going on for a few days now. Actually, we were watching the other night, and I think we were in the episodes from 1969. So it was in color, and they're probably in the early 70s by now. But I mean." That marathon's going to be going on a while, because Mr. Rogers, that show didn't end until like 2001.
Yeah, it was like 30 years worth of
television.
It was
a long time. So they got a lot of episodes to go. However, I got to say, yes, I've been watching some Mr. Rogers on Twitch. And again, chat fucking makes it. Like the chat, like kudos to the chatters who fucking make that an experience.
So are there any like awesome memes coming out of this, you know?
No, not really the same thing, but it's like the type of stuff like when there was one episode he was doing with he was doing like a seesaw and he was weighing the fruit or something, and like when it balanced and stuff, like people were like vac you know, like he's cheating and all this stuff, and you know, like just like science OMG and like the little emotes and all that, and just people are really funny. And there's of course some of like the stupid shit that you would expect too, that like whenever like Lady Aberline or what's the real life lady that plays, not Lady Elaine, the funky nose one. Lady Aberline is her name or something. Aberdeen?
No,
Aberline?
It's the one who's like his niece or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to look it up.
When she, maybe in chat probably knows it too. When she shows up, some toilet comments show up in chat, but it's not like, it doesn't cross the line. Like, it's just like, you kind of chalk it up to the whole like, oh, it's,
Lady Aberline.
Hey, Lady Aberline. Thank you. Oh, it's pervy dude at home or whatever.
Who is named Betty Aberline.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah. Everything is like their names. And then like it's funny because obviously I haven't watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in a very fucking long time, right? But like many of you, I watched it every fucking day when I was like 5 or 6 years old. Like picture is my fucking jam. Okay. So, you know, all that stuff. And so it's kind of fascinating to go back now and watch it. And it's like, the characters really talk like that, like the meow, 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 hello, meow, 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 adventure, meow, meow, meow. Like, I was like, how did that not drive me up a fucking wall? But
isn't that how your cat talks? I mean, that's how my cat talks.
No, my cat is meow, 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 feed me, meow, 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 feed me,
like,
meow,
meow, meow, feed me. Mom, mom.
All right. Anyhow, sorry for the tangent, but you can blame chat for that one. We're back on TV. That one's a worthwhile cause. They're raising money for PBS, I think, at the end of the day, which is, hey, I gotta say, a fucking smart way to do it in this day and age, because, you know, you guys probably all remember back in the day when you would watch Mr. Rogers, then you'd have the telethon comes on, and if you send us $50, you'll get a free t-shirt or a free book or a free VHS tape of A Night at the Opera or something, you know, that they would always have those telethons. But that, like, somebody at PBS, and probably because of Bob Ross, okay, let's not, you know, it's because of Bob Ross changed the fucking game at Twitch, okay? I'm sure now, like, PBS was like, well, wait a minute. We want to do, like, a fundraiser or something over there.
We get, like, 3-2-1 contact or something like that?
Fuck.
Or?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Square One Television.
Square One? Oh.
Because Square One still hasn't been released on DVD.
Oh,
they
snap.
They need to do something
about
that.
Oh, snap. Can you imagine MathNet like back to back to back to back. I will. I'm going to stay up for 72 hours straight when that happens.
I'll watch MathNet.
Oh my god,
that's my jam.
Didn't they release MathNet like as a separate program at some point?
Like Friday? Okay, here we go on TV again. God damn it!
Sorry.
Friday would always be like the math, like the extended MathNet episode, where like there was only a couple, like maybe they would have a math man in the very beginning, or something, and then like the rest of the episode was MathNet. So, but the rest of the week was not like that.
Another really cool thing that PBS did to raise money was on YouTube. They remixed certain themes like a year or two ago. And those are worth checking out. Like,
some of those are on the music feed.
They're amazing.
Oh, yeah. They're fucking fantastic. And Mr. Rogers has one, too.
Has one. I think Reading Rainbow has one. And I think Julia Child has one.
Oh, Julia Child. Love it. All right. Anyway, back to video games. But the worlds are coming. I mean, as Twitch is airing this stuff, it's like our video game and TV worlds are blending together. Anyway, how would you like to buy a video game box for $5? Yes, you can buy a video game box for $5. It is the Nintendo Switch Splatoon 2 bundle. Excuse me, hiccups. If you can't afford the bundle, or perhaps you already own all the stuff inside it, but you just want to have a box for your collection, you can buy one for 540 yen in Japan. So I should stress, this is on the My Nintendo store, Japan. It's not something they're doing here in the U.S. There is no Switch inside, no manuals, no boxes, no cords. It is just the box, the main box. No little boxes inside of games or anything. So you could also buy this to prank somebody with an awesome
gift. Set it up for really, you know, pranky eBay auctions.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Or I'm gonna get Loki a gift on a future episode of OLR. It's just gonna
be... I'm not gonna tell that that's completely empty. By
it's just gonna be a Splatoon 2 box, and inside will just be a note that says, "I put all of your positive things about Nintendo inside this box," and it's empty.
Those cartridges are so light you wouldn't be able to tell if you lifted it up.
It's true. The Switches are pretty light as it is.
A lot of those boxes have like instructions on the inside, though. Have you looked inside the boxes?
Oh, yeah, the boxes, like that's what they do now. They do like a one sheet print on the back. And that's it. So
it's not like completely worthless.
No. But anyway, keep in mind, this box is the like system box.
Oh,
so it's
okay.
Not.
So it's not the game.
No,
box.
It's not the game box. No. All right. Anyhow, one other thing to mention about speaking about Nintendo and so forth, it's Mario Kart 8 patch that came out. You may have noticed that 1.1 version of Mario Kart 8 came out, and it adjusted the time zone issue that we bitched about with the tournament thing last week. So to be fair, Nintendo fixed that. Yay. However, they also changed Inkling Girl's animation. Apparently, she was giving an animation. I never really noticed this in her old animation, but she was giving the Up Yours animation, which, like, here is not super offensive unless there's a finger coming out of it, right? But I suppose overseas in parts of Europe and so forth, exactly what you just did there, that is a little more
you hold
more
your
vile.
Bicep and pump through your fist, that's an insult.
It's the same as the middle finger, basically. So
except if you're in parts of Europe, namely England, the two fingers,
yeah. So
where they see the back of your hand.
That's
is.
Right. So in America, your IQ is one. In Britain, your IQ is two. That's how it works.
It's like one punch versus two punches. Yes. That's how many licks you're gonna get.
All right. So there it is. So, you know, again, if you wanted to know why that animation changed, that's because in another country, it was not polite. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us before we get to release dates?
Some stuff. Actually, one of the Switch games I've been mildly interested in has been ARMS, which would be why I'd want to get a Switch, I think. But they are getting a global Test Punch event. It's actually available right now, apparently, on the eShop. So if you want to see if you like it, test it. Punch it in the face with your arms. Okay, that sucked. So also in other news, we have the E3 2001 live stream plans for Sony. Monday, June 12th is going to be at 5 p.m. Tuesday, June 13th from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. live programming. Wednesday, June 14th from 12 to 6. And Thursday, June 15th from 12 to 4. So you'd be able to watch it all at live.playstation.com. There are quests to unlock rewards and different trailers to watch. And the whole thing will also be streamed on YouTube and Twitch.
Well, good luck to my buddy, who I'm sure is going to be a part of this, who used to listen to OLR years and years ago and now does that stuff with Sony. So
Yay!
Yay. I'm sure he'll be in that. And that's, you know, that's what a lot of the companies are doing now. Again, when you can take your message direct to the people like that, you know, we know Nintendo is doing a similar thing with Treehouse. Obviously, Sony's got their thing going on. We don't know of Microsoft. Microsoft doesn't really have like a people team right now. Like, I know they have Major Nelson. He's kind of like the face of Xbox and so forth. But I don't know. Or am I mistaking something? Yes, I know there's the MVP program and so forth. But those folks aren't like really like on camera or doing anything with that. So Microsoft doesn't really like, who would host a Microsoft stream if they did something all day long? I guess it would be Major Nelson, but that's a lot for one person to do.
Beam.
That's a good thought. That's actually a really good thought. Maybe this is, you know, we see on Twitch TV, we see a lot of the streaming from like, you know, Heroes of the Storm championships or League of Legends type thing. So sure, if Microsoft wanted to do an all day long thing, Beam would be a great place to do it for them to get some more eyes in the council there.
When they stream their events, actually, normally they have it through like Microsoft's own site. They've got their like Silverlight plugin thing that they use for like their.
Were they the ones that had Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb, or was that Bethesda?
That's Bethesda.
Bethesda. Okay, my bad. I thought somebody was using. Yeah, it was Bethesda was using them. So Microsoft's the only one that kind of doesn't really do the same type of thing as the other companies, which, you know, whatever works for them. But yeah. All right. Moving on, let's travel around the world and check out what you're going to be getting in stores this week, a little sooner than E3. Loki.
This week we actually have a Wii U game coming out, Darksiders Warmastered Edition, out on the Wii U. Also, Disgaea 5 Complete on the Nintendo Switch, Embers of Murrim on PC and PlayStation 4, Impact Winter on PC. Oh, God, I'm going to butcher this, but let's see. Utawari Rumono, Mask of Deception on PlayStation 4 and Vita. Vanquish, finally coming out on PC. Drive Girls on Vita. Friday the 13th, The Game on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
Oh, some people looking forward to that,
I'm
sure.
Yeah, that looks pretty awesome, so that's coming out this week as well on Friday.
Still not going to be like the NES version, which I'm sorry, the NES version gets a bad rap. It's not as bad as y'all make it out to
be. Remember they had like, was it an action figure that you could buy that actually they had it in the NES color?
Yes,
too,
yes.
Cool. Let's see, Get Even on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Guilty Gear Xrd Revision 2 on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3. Rime on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Samurai Warrior Spirit of Sonata on PlayStation 4 and PC. And finally this week, we're getting Ultra Street Fighter 2, The Final Challengers on the Nintendo Switch. That's it.
All right. Let's travel to Japan. No, really, let's go to Japan. Like, everybody I know...
I'm gonna go.
Captain Spike over at Game Buoy just got back from Japan. They did a great episode on that. Princess Irene is on her way to Japan. Like, she left either yesterday or today, so she's on her way.
I know,
I want to go to Japan. But I'm worried because I don't speak Japanese, you know. I know Akuma JP would help me out. He's a great pal, and he's, you know, been listening to the show a while.
You'd actually be surprised the number of people who do speak some English.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want one person to have to worry about me for a whole trip while I'm out there. It's a lot to ask one person, but, you know.
Well, and immersion is really good for education.
I guess that's true. Imagine if I could come back and I could actually pronounce Japanese release dates.
You should let me do them sometime.
We were going to trade at one point, but then something happened. You got pulled from the show for a few months, and we never ended up switching.
And it's also hilarious.
Yeah, great.
I mean, you could take a semester of Japanese, and you'd probably get a lot better with the pronunciation.
Education!
Yeah. I know, right?
Well, actually, what's funny is that I am working on studying again to try to pass the first round of JLPT. So,
you know, I think that's what I'm going to do with the Biddy Fund. I'm gonna set my Biddy Fund on Twitch so that once I get like $2,000, I'll go to
Japan.
Actually, maybe when I'm 50.
You know, funny that you mentioned. There's a game. I think it's an RPG Maker game that's on Steam that's about learning Japanese. I picked it up. Oh. I just don't remember what it is.
We talked about that on the show once. Yes.
Yeah. Is that the Fight Slimes Learn Japanese one?
I don't think that's what it was called.
Name,
but
yeah. I know there was only 10 years ago. That was.
I don't remember because it's lost. Somewhere in my Steam library. Lost and good luck library. Finding whatever game that was. But it's. If there is a game out there that, you know, teaches you Japanese and
all right. Anyway, and by the way, I wouldn't really spend the Biddy money going to Japan. I'd probably buy new microphones for our studio because I'm going to have to do that, Biddies or not, pretty soon. All right. Anyway, Let's travel around the world here to Japan. And virtually, we'll talk about what's coming out on the PlayStation 4. We're getting back into some heavy releases now with all that Golden Week stuff that happened earlier in the month. But we have Hyper Light Drifter is making its Japanese release on the PlayStation 4 this week on the 25th. Summer Lesson, Miyamoto Hikari Edition. And not to be confused with Nintendo's Miyamoto. This is some other type of education game, I believe. It is a PlayStation VR game, which I think is very interesting. I'm not sure what it is you're learning about in this game, but... your instructor looks like a nice Japanese girl that you're... Maybe it's kind of like immersion. And I like this shirt that she's wearing. A yeah shirt with a shark on it. It's cute. Anyway, Miyamoto Hikari Edition is out this week. And then Guilty Gear Xrd Rev 2 is also out in Japan this week as well. That is all on the 25th. On the 3DS this week, nothing. Things are slowing down there. On the Switch this week, the Ultra Street Fighter release is also making its way to Japan this week, so you have that to look forward to. And then lastly, looking at the Vita for this week, Sengoku Hime 7 is out this week in a regular and a limited edition. And Love of Love, Emperor of Love. That's a whole lot of love in regular and limited edition on the Vita this week. So check that out.
And those games, and I guess I didn't pick it up, or at least I don't
Learn
see
Japanese
it in my life.
To Survive?
Yes, that's what... Oh, I do have it. Learn Japanese to Survive. Hiragana Battle is what I've got.
Oh, okay.
I have that one. I actually just bought the Katakana Battle. Even though I read katakana better than hiragana.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I do.
That's the reverse for me. I get too many of the katakana look similar to each other for me.
It's just because I've read too many labels.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
If it's, you know, something that's Western, it's in katakana.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I still remember one of the first things I ever bought you, Dark Sakura, when we were first friends, was I bought you a Japanese copy of Harry Potter.
Do you know I still have it?
Oh, I would hope so.
It's on my shelf
yeah.
with the little jacket on it, and it still has the insert in it where it explains what a crumpet is. No, seriously.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
The inner part like goes through like what different, I guess... foreign terms would be like yeah. jumper. The word jumper is used in the book.
Romper? Why didn't the American editions have that? Because we don't know what crumpets are
but
either.
The American
version. No, we have them here.
No, well. Keep in mind, the British one was Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Right.
And they changed. So I have the British and the US one.
Oh, they changed a lot.
They changed a lot. When you get further on through the books, the last book is more dead even because I've read both of those two. But. Still, it's a lot of...
They actually shot like two different movies with the first movie.
Yeah, but really it was just scenes that refer to the item, so...
Anyway, I don't know why I thought of that, but you talking about reading Japanese made me think, oh, remember that book?
It's because reading is fundamental.
Reading is what?
Well, part of a lip sync, don't you understand, Judy?
All right, that part.
I'd like to keep it on, please.
The same parts.
The same parts.
That was a choice.
Moving on. How about the UK, Dark Sagra?
On the... what's today? The 21st? Okay. On the 22nd, Trackmania 2 Lagoon for PC. On the 23rd, we have Steel Division Normandy 44. Why can't it be Normandy SR2? May 25th, we have Vanquish for PC. Samurai Warriors Sanada Maru. And, it's the same game. They just called it Spirit of Sanada for the PC one. But it's PC and PlayStation 4. It's like, whatever. And on the 26th, Rhyme for X-Bone PC and PS4. Stephanie.
That's it. All right. Let's continue on with Dark Sakura, however, because she's going to take a dive into the mailbag.
Ain't going to do it.
Yes, you are.
Girl. Why are you putting your phone number in your email?
Did somebody put their phone number in the email?
Yeah, they did.
You better. One of these days, I'm going to call you live on air.
We'll do it.
We did that once on a really, really early OLR. We like called somebody, and it was so fucking awkward because that person was having a bad day or
you
something.
Just call my mom.
No, I'm not going to call that number anyway. Yeah. I would assume some people have it automatically in their work emails that they email us from.
Oh, is it a signature?
I think it's a signature.
It might be, but still.
Anyway,
it's so funny.
I'm gonna call you. Just say, "Hey, it's Rob Roberts. What you doing?
Hey, baby.
How you doing?" All right.
Well, they didn't put a nickname in here, so I'm just going to call them Andrew.
Okay.
The email about the custom ITG machine last week reminded me...
Oh, here we go again. Here we go again. Another week. Sorry, Jamie.
It's in the gate.
That's what this is. The in the gate.
I've always kind of wanted to get an arcade machine. I think Jamie said she has some, and I know Rob has talked about it before. Obviously, space and funds are big hurdles, but I'm also a little afraid of spending a bunch of money and then having it break and not being able to fix it. I'm not completely inept with technology, but I know enough to know that I know nothing, Jon Snow. Do you have any tips or suggestions as far as places that sell them, upkeep of machines, etc.? My dream would be to own a DJ Max Technica 3 machine. I love that game so much, and the Vita and phone Technica games are merely serviceable limitations. A custom DDR ITG machine would probably be sweet too, and there are plenty of other arcade faves I would enjoy having. Thanks, Andrew. I will tell you this. Dan and I have owned a number of games over history. One of them was our original MAME cabinet that Shermie lived in. We would pick up, like when we were putting a MAME in those, we would just pick up husks of old games and clean them up. And actually getting full working arcade machines is not too far off than getting pinball tables. When Dan started, he was actually helping a friend renovate some machines and getting them working in exchange for our first pinball table, which we've had like some stinkers over time. But working on them taught Dan how to keep working on them. You just don't do it until you do it, you know? But we've picked up machines on Craigslist. We got our Gyrus, and you've played our Gyrus. Our Gyrus is in good shape.
Yeah, I like that Gyrus machine. It's good.
All we had to do was fix a fuse in it.
So you're kind of suggesting that maybe even though this person knows nothing about arcade machines, and admittedly, I mean, I'm happy you referred to me in the email, but the only arcade machine in my house is a custom thing that Loki built that I haven't turned on in 2 years. So because I think I unplugged something and I don't know how to fix it. So.
Oh, that's easy.
But at the same time, again, I just, you know, I don't really use it a lot. But I've thought about it. I've definitely thought about it.
You were going to say something?
I was going to say, yeah, that was a bar top cabinet kit that I bought. I mean, you can honestly just build one your own, but I just didn't want to cut all the shit out. So really, all it would take is just, just throw a computer inside. You put a monitor on a computer and run MAME. I mean, that's probably the cheapest. Doing a Dance Dance Revolution cabinet, that's going to be fucking expensive and difficult because either A, going to have to build something yourself. And most likely, if you're going to do that, just build some really nice pads, hook it up to a TV, and run Stepmania on it instead of actually having a whole cabinet, because it's going to be a hassle to fit that in your house or wherever you're going to put it. And then just... A TV back probably in, cheaper anyways.
Well, back in the day, you could get a third mix on the cheap and put anything in it, but now they're all different hardware.
And people want that stuff to, you know, do that.
Here's something that's becoming... Are we done with the email yet?
Well, not quite, because I was going to bring up another suggestion.
Okay, I'm going to bring on... I actually know a subject matter expert on this that I'm going to call here, because I just texted him. We're going to bring on this. So,
okay.
In just a
but
moment.
I was just going to say, there's a web show on YouTube called John's Arcade.
Do you know who hosts that? John from Video Game Outsiders, who used to be on All Games with us back in the day.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. But I
look what he's doing now, and look what we're doing now.
But I like to say that I like to watch his show because he does go into the guts of the restoration. He answers questions for people. And I would probably say he's done a lot more renovation than Dan and I have done.
He's learned a lot from his podcasting years that he's applying to his YouTube medium.
Yeah, if I had a basement, I would have an arcade.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to do a quick phone call here. So, okay. Uh-huh, all right.
Okay.
So this might be somebody you want to say hello to as well. We're actually going to call her live on air. So this is my pal, Melody.
Hi,
that we're going to call here, and I warned her that this is coming through, and she might have some people. She said she's in the car, that she's going to take this call in the car. Hi, is Melody there? Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Melody. It's Rob Roberts here at Orange Lounge Radio. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight?
I am good. And thank you for agreeing to come on last minute. But, you know, sometimes we get emails, okay? We get emails here on the show, and I'm like, I don't know the answer to this question, but I know somebody who does. And this is what happened tonight is we got an email about, and the question was about, I want to get, well, can you paraphrase, what was that question we got, Jamie? I want to own a DDR machine, basically, right?
Yeah, one of them was, I want to own a DDR machine. So I think we need to suggest something that's easy to maintain and relatively on the cheap.
So tell us a little bit about your home arcade, Melody.
The one that keeps expanding until we run out of space, which is now. We started out with one DDR Solo 2000 that I'm with DJ Melvis right now, and it was his. And the boards on it died. It had a bad RAM chip. So we have a friend who managed to hook a PS2 into it, so it runs off a giant PS2. It's a giant PS2, essentially. Mm-hmm. Then we stumbled into a friend who was selling Para Para Paradise, which is the game how he and I met. Brought that home, then went to California Extreme, the gaming show, and realized I love Dance Maniac and wanted to own one. And I got lucky in that I Googled around and found one. And then decided we wanted another DDR machine, so I hopped on good old eBay and discovered when I was looking for DDR Extreme, I found Revolution X. And we all went, oh, that would be fun to own. So that came home from Indiana.
Then, Revolution X.
Yeah, it's a special Revolution X. And that's my friend Christine in the back. We're all in the car right now. So,
hi, kids.
So then we ended up getting a friend's gauntlet because he doesn't have space. And then we decided we wanted another DDR when a friend of mine emailed me about it. So we currently have three DDRs, a Para Para Paradise, a Dance Maniac, Gauntlet, and Revolution X all in one garage.
And you've even like gone so far as to carpet your garage at this point.
Yes.
If I'm right, don't y'all have
in there? We have two disco balls now. you almost can't see the blacklight carpet now because there's just so many machines in there. There's like one little sliver of carpet.
Wow.
It is turning out to be quite amazing.
Well, and if I'm right, don't y'all have like a single car garage?
Technically it's a two-car garage, but you'd have to get really friendly with that second
Yeah,
car.
It's one of the, they call it a two-car garage, but literally
it's
the two
like
cars
and
nothing
half.
Else. Yeah, literally yeah. two and
no,
nothing
I know
else.
What you're talking about, because trust me, I feel your pain, because we've got eight pinballs in my garage now, and three arcade cabinets.
And I'm very jealous of that World Cup.
You know that's my baby, and y'all are always welcome to come over and play anytime.
No, here's the thing. So here's what I want to get answered for our emailer. Now, obviously, when it comes to the money, like I'm not gonna ask how you afforded it, because that's nobody's business. If y'all want something bad enough, you save for it. That's what it is. So when it comes to the money, you just have to save the money. But when it comes to like how did you like know that what you were gonna get was a good quality? It sounds like you had a friend of a friend referral in a couple of those cases, so you kind of knew that was good. But you did the eBay thing. Like, how did you know that you were gonna buy something that was gonna work?
I asked a lot of questions. In that case, that was actually for the Revolution X, which for those of us who don't know what Revolution X is, it's a 1990s shooter game starring Aerosmith. And it is fantastic. Fantastically bad. Yes, but it is a lot of fun. But I was smart enough to kind of know what I was looking at. I've played it before once or twice. Mel and Christine have both played it several times. So I asked them, what should I be asking? And just asked a lot of detailed questions. When you can't get out to actually try the machine yourself, it's important to know what you're looking at, and just, you're spending a lot of money on an investment. They need to answer your questions. If you're not comfortable with it, someone else is going to have another machine, and you're going to be fine with that one.
I think that's some really solid advice. Melody, I'm gonna let you go, because obviously this segment's taken like 10 minutes of our time now, but I really appreciate you letting me do this to you last minute.
Yeah, not a problem. And quite honestly, you know how to get a hold of me. If they have more questions, I'm willing to answer. Quite honestly, if any of the listeners have questions, I'm willing to do what I can to help. I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I've done this a few times now. So if people have questions on what they should be looking for or how to look for it, I'm happy to help out.
Do you have a Twitter? Do you have a Twitter?
I do have a Twitter. What is my Twitter? Anonymous. Anonemose.
There you go. So you can get a hold of her direct. You don't have to go through us. You can reach out to Anonymous directly and get your questions answered about DDR home ownership. Thank you so much, you guys. Have a safe drive wherever you're going.
Dinner. Yay,
have fun storming the castle.
Dinner. Yay. Have a good dinner, guys.
I did a quick search.
Bye.
Take care, y'all.
Take care.
Did a quick search on eBay, and every now and then you can find some pretty good deals. Too bad it's in Washington, but they have a Dance Dance Revolution arcade third mix. It's missing the hardware, but the pads and everything are in the. It's kind of torn apart, but $167 for the whole cabinet.
What? Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, fuck, that's all I would want right there is just the pads anyways. So yeah. It's a good deal. Too bad it's in Washington. Jump on that. It ends tomorrow. So if you're interested in the Washington area, there you go.
And let this be a lesson to anybody that knows me, IRL. Like, I have a little Rolodex in my head. It's not the Rolodex I hate, but it's the one next to that. It's a little Rolodex in my head that's like, oh, so-and-so has this. So-and-so does this. And when I hear, like, I'm gonna call you on a moment's notice. Like, I just called Melody. There we go. Anyway.
It was funny. I was thinking of Melody in terms of the DDR machines.
Yeah, like, no, all the stuff you said about pinball and all that's great, but, you know, I know, like, oh my God, like, when I hear all this, I'm like, Melody, like, owns the music game stuff, you know, so.
Now, I didn't know that they had a Revolution X, and now I'm super jelly because I love stupid game, because you can go and find, like, Steve Perry on the toilet.
The last time I was over there, we played Dance Maniacs. I played that machine. Steve Perry. And they had just got the Revolution X, but the gauntlet is new, and now the carpeting, like, they're really making an arcade out of that. That's Mel's arcade. You want to talk about John's arcade? Now you got Mel's arcade. Competition on the West Coast.
No, Dan and I had an off talk about next time we look for another house of maybe doing a 3-car garage so that he can have a place for the Mustang. The Mustang's got paint on it now.
Get one of those insulated garages like I used to have at the other house. I know that place got insanely hot, but with a swamp cooler, that place would have been a great.
We had the Vornado of Doom.
Yeah, yeah.
That was great.
Anyhow.
All right, last email.
Very long answer to that email, but good one.
All right. As a follow-up from last week, I neglected to specify that my headphones are used more for my mobile devices than my computer and consoles. This is from Robert M., by the way. Unfortunately, by those standards, I really can't use any of the sets that you recommend. Coincidentally, though, Ninja Sista and Pandalicious of Electric Sisterhood began their show talking about checking out Lucid Sound LS30 set as well as the manufacturer set for Xbox One. I will definitely have to try out the former for myself.
How funny. What a coincidence. But yay, Electric Sisterhood.
I had the chance to go to this year's Anime St. Louis in St. Charles and was excited to find out that the game room this year was set up by Tokyo Attack, who I'm sure Ron was familiar with.
I'm familiar with.
Those are the ones in Rhode Island?
Yes, but they're all over the East Coast.
I've also laid out their ads for DerpyCon.
Oh, funny.
FYI, I've done the DerpyCon guidebook for like 4 years now.
If you're a music game fan on the East Coast, you know Tokyo Attack. Yeah. You do.
There were a lot of outstanding Japanese arcade games, mostly music rhythm, and a surprisingly high representation of Konami machines. Then again, being music games. I got to play the WarioWare-like the Bishibashi. I love Bishibashi.
They have that at Japantown in the arcade.
Is it the original Bishibashi one, or the Bishibashi special?
I don't know what the difference is.
Okay. And of course, the tea table flipping game.
Also there.
Yeah. And they have the don't flip it unless you're playing it. I like that sign. Didn't stay as long as I probably should have, but enjoyed wondering about seeing attendees' costumes. Lots of Overwatch, of course. Robert M. That's it.
Great. Awesome. Thanks for the emails, you guys. If you want to email us in a future week, participate at orangeloungetrader.com is the place to, you know, participate.
To do those things.
All right. We're going to be taking your calls. Not only do we call out sometimes, but sometimes y'all call in over at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. But we'll get to those calls after some more news. First off, Loki.
It's like this never ends, but you may remember it's been a big deal with the whole ZeniMax Oculus suit. Well, that's concluded, of course, with Oculus owing ZeniMax some money. So what's the next step? ZeniMax, of course, is going after Samsung because Samsung makes a device called the Gear VR, which is powered by Oculus, which is powered by profit for Bethesda because they feel that it infringes on their intellectual property.
Is this the same thing? Bobby was talking a lot about VR stuff on his show tonight. He was talking about something where, like, there was a conversation that happened with, like, a former, like, and this whole lawsuit is coming from a freaking conversation that happened between, yeah, like, ZeniMax, a former employee of a
very
it sounded like a stretch. He described it much better than I could, because I admittedly do not follow all the VR drama as much as he does, but, you know.
Yeah, they're very litigious. So hopefully, I'm wondering though with this if that's going to be more of a stretch, because it's like, I don't know how much is really powered by Oculus. I mean, because it's just a damn image with, you know, it's a basic case. There's no real hardware in the device, so I don't know. It might be a little bit trickier, but they feel that they have precedent based off the last.
Are they drunk with power now because of what happened with Facebook? Is that what's happening?
I don't know. Dude, I get it that you're selling, you know, you're suing these people. Let's see you put a VR device in. If you're going to, like, sue all these people over your technology being used, let's see what this is going to be.
E3's
Are you
coming.
Sit on it?
E3's coming.
I just don't fucking care. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, Fallout VR might be cool, but
I don't know. Hey, like a Skyrim type of VR thing might be really
rad. I'd be down with Skyrim VR.
Yeah. I'd be down with that too. All right, well, let's move on to something else that I think a lot of us were down with, and then it was suddenly gone. You know, y'all know how Scalebound got canceled, right? Microsoft was teaming up with Platinum Games to do Scalebound, and it just got canceled a couple months ago, which, unfortunately, there's a variety of reasons why this could have happened. It could have been because nobody in Japan has an Xbox One, and maybe Microsoft has just decided they're not going to continue to pursue the Japanese market. I don't know. Or perhaps deadlines were not being met. I don't know. But here's the interesting, again, these are rumors, but the interesting rabble going around right now is that this project might not actually be dead. But this is coming from the fact that Microsoft has renewed the trademark. There are rumors, in addition to that, that are saying the teams are working on salvaging the project, possibly even reworking it from the ground up without Platinum being involved. That talk about it, because if it wouldn't Platinum's logo still have to be on it because they kind of started the development and would own the name Scalebound? Well, not, I mean, they wouldn't necessarily own it because it was a, but they would, like, be partial owners with it, with Microsoft, right? Even though they might not end up developing this game at all.
I don't know.
God, I know. Lots of rumors and who knows what. This could be a very interesting, if this shows up at E3, this is going to be a very, like, audible gasp type of moment during the presser.
I wasn't all that hot on Scalebound to begin with, so I'm not going to, I'll be like, yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be like an audible gasp.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, because there's going to be a lot of people that are like, whoa, Platinum, like, totally got shafted in that whole deal, so. It's not like Platinum makes stinker games. Like, Bayonetta 2, hello, those are, like, some of the best video games ever made.
Starbucks.
So. That's right. Platinum did do that. Yeah. Well, okay, not everything.
They also did, I think it was Platinum, they did Anarchy Reigns, which wasn't that great either. But
Vanquish.
Vanquish was good.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. Not everybody's going to be, like, you know, hitting everything out of the ballpark all the time. I mean, after all, Rockstar did make Rockstar Table Tennis, but that's not necessarily a genre that I'm interested in.
Hi, Alan's back.
Hello. Platinum Games makes great games, but they make great niche games.
Mm.
That's their thing. They don't really make games with mass appeal, which I'm sure a lot of people love Platinum Games because they will do that good weird shit.
Mm.
But the rumor of, like, is Platinum Games Studio going to shut down because Microsoft totally screwed them over with this? Basically, it's like, is this a sign that the studio is failing because they can't make a massive blockbuster? But it's like, that's not what they do. Like, Bayonetta 2, probably one of the best action fighting beat-em-up games ever.
Like, if any...
But it was made on the Wii U, and even then...
If any fucking Wii U game needs to be re-released, it's that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So Platinum Games is great, but they don't... Because they're always looking for, you know, the new weird shit, they're not going to, and then maybe that's one of the things that Microsoft didn't like about them. They take too long, and they're like, "This we don't know what you're doing with this. This is too weird for us."
Yeah. Maybe that, I mean, you're right. Maybe that's it. But I, you know, I'm sure Platinum Games is going to be just fine. There are rumors, very, very, very big rumors of Bayo 3 with some things that showed up in the PC release, and, you know, just the fact that Bayonetta deserves another game, you know, even if the second game was on Wii U. Nintendo may recognize that it's their own damn fault it didn't sell, and they may be back in a third one.
I was so happy when Bayonetta PC port showed up out of nowhere, because I thought, I'm like, they have all the Devil May Cry shit on here. Why don't they do Bayonetta? When it happened, I was, it's like, so awesome. But we will never get Bayonetta 2 on PC because Nintendo paid every penny for that game.
Right.
So
hopefully they're paying for a third.
So I don't care. I want it anyway. But yeah,
that's right.
I realize it's not realistic.
A true internet gamer. I don't care if it doesn't make sense. I want it, and I'm going to be mad if I don't get it. All right. Moving on. Let's go to another story. Dark Sakura.
Well, this one made my heart sing.
You?
Me. My shriveled little heart inflated three sizes. Basically, there is a blind gamer in Japan who sent Nintendo. yeah, there's the gasp. They sent Nintendo a letter, not asking them for anything. And Nintendo's been known to replace like broken games and things when customers have been incredibly sad by it. If their circumstances is in particular, the dad wrote out the letter from his son. And I will go ahead and read the letter that he was sent. Basically, the son's name is Hibiki, and he has retinoblastoma in both eyes. So he's been blind since he was 2 years old. I'll read the letter. Dear Nintendo, hello. My name is Hibiki Sakai, and I am in fifth grade. I am blind, but I've always wanted to play video games like everybody else. There aren't many games I can play at all. The one game I can really play is Rhythm Tengoku. For those who don't know, that's Rhythm Heaven. It's the only game I can enjoy together with others, and I never lose at it. I've gotten perfect scores on all the versions on the Game Boy Advance, Nintendo DS, Wii, and 3DS, too. So I really, really want you to make more Rhythm Tengoku games, and it's perfectly fine if you make them a little harder, too. I think that there are a lot of other kids with visual impairments who want to play video games but can't. So I'd love for you to develop more games for people with handicaps to enjoy playing with others. I will always support you, Nintendo, from Hibiki Sakai. So Nintendo replied, first of all, with a letter in Braille.
Which That's awesome.
I thought was pretty neat. And then a printed one, I guess, for Dad to read. And so the response from that is, thank you so much for sending us here at Nintendo your heartwarming letter. We're so happy to hear that you've perfected and enjoyed Rhythm Tengoku, Rhythm Tengoku Gold, Mina no Rhythm Tengoku, and Rhythm Tengoku the best. We have passed on your letter to Nintendo's development department. We want to keep making games that everyone can have fun playing, so thank you for your support. So, also, the kid plays the drums really well, too. Did you watch the video?
I didn't watch the video.
He plays drums pretty well. So, but yeah, I just thought that it was neat because there was another thing on here where his dad said that he was going under surgery that will, quote, be nothing but days full of pain and tears so that he can hopefully regain some vision or have his eyes taken care of. But it's just, we have some listeners who have some visual impairment, others who have, all kinds of, I would say limited abilities in some physical aspects, be it, like we're talking about vision, hearing, mobility, autism, hello, other things. And I think that it's great that Nintendo took the time to respond to that letter and acknowledge that there are people out there who play games who may not be your generally abled person. So I thought it was really good.
No, that's awesome.
And I really super love that they replied with a Braille letter.
Mm-hmm.
So well done, Nintendo. Kudos. And also, I'm probably not going to hear this, but I do hope Hibiki's surgery goes well.
Same. All right. Thank you for sharing that nice story, Darsaka. Appreciate it. All right. We just have a couple more stories for you guys, and then your stories on our Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. But first, Loki.
So speaking of more VR stuff, this is pretty cool. So a Half-Life 2 mod or Half-Life 2 VR mod for the Oculus Rift and Vive has been in the works since 2013. It just made its way through Steam Greenlight. So hopefully that means it'll be coming out relatively soon. So having the project on Steam, of course, is it'll make it easier for them to develop.
So they're allowed to do this even though Half-Life isn't really their game.
I think so, yeah. There's been other mods that have gotten
through. Gary's mod is out there, right?
Well, Gary's mod. There's also some Portal side story stuff that they had that they released. Granted, those were free. I'm not sure if this is going to cost anything when it comes out. Maybe not. Maybe it might be a free thing. So, I don't know.
No.
If you have, like, you know, Half-Life or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or a Valve game that you'll be able to play this.
Yeah. All right. Well, unfortunately, ending on a not so great note tonight, but just want to take a minute to let you all know, if you didn't know, that I guess this was on May 13th that this actually happened, but American voice actor John Siggen, I don't know if I said that right, I'm really sorry if I mispronounced that, but he passed away, and he was more probably known to you guys as an actor in the Metal Gear series. He was Solidius Snake in Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, but he was also in some other their TV productions and so forth, and he did Mafia 3. He was in that game as well. So, unfortunately, we lost him this week, so rest in peace. All right. We're going to move on to the Skype line. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, is the place that you can call us. And we'll take your calls. Orange Lounge Radio, again, all one word on Skype. Ooh, it is already lighting up in here. Let's get to some calls and take some calls.
Oh, hi. My God.
Yes, hi, on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
It's Zaku here.
Hey, Zaku. Long time.
I know. The struggle was kind of real, but it was only because I finally, switched careers. So, well, not so much switched careers, but switched jobs. So
new phone, new dis.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
I'm starting a new job tomorrow, so as a result, yeah, I had to stay away from things like OLR for a bit.
All right,
although you did see me in December when I was out on the West Coast, briefly.
Yes, briefly. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
Nothing much other than the fact that things like E3 is looming and the fact that I got... Well, another one that I caught was like the fact that free-to-play doesn't necessarily mean, you know, your basic... You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's on the same page. Case in point, this, you know, I don't know if you read this article recently where one YouTube streamer basically got threatened with a strike on their account because the, you know, Wargaming, the folks who make World of Tanks, didn't like the fact that that he was basically bashing his, their new tank that's essentially a play to win grab. That's designed to maximize the amount of profit, you know, for these freemium games.
I really fucking hate when copyright holders, and this is a problem. I put this squarely on YouTube, honestly, for having this system set up in the first place. But I hate when copyright holders kind of abuse that to try to strike down, you know, things that are critical. And that's what it is. It's a criticism. And honestly, and it's not like unfounded criticism either. It's, you know, like you say, potentially a play to win type of situation. And people have a right to kind of know about that. Just like, you know, when Siskel and Ebert use a clip from a movie to drive home the point that this movie might be kind of fucking terrible, then obviously I'm dating myself using that reference, but you know what I mean. I mean, those names live on and mean any movie reviewers that are out there. They use a clip,
right.
And they might be critical of it. The movie people aren't like, well, we're going to fucking sue your show and you're never going to be able to review our movie again. I'm sure somebody's tried that, but it doesn't fucking work because, you know, we have, that's why we have fair use laws to be able
right.
to comment on
but
that stuff.
On the other hand, to be fair, this one, he was part of a particular program that gives said people insider access to upcoming DLC.
If they want to kick him out of the program, fine, but he has every right to say, I got kicked out of the program because I went against the grain and I wouldn't stay. He has every right to say it.
True, but at the same token, the reason why they're after him in particular is because of the fact that he actually cursed them out in a YouTube video. Like, he cursed out Wargaming. He essentially bit the hand that fed him.
Well, and now when we're getting into the level, now when we're talking about unprofessionalism,
yeah.
Now my opinion starts to sway a little bit. Is that, okay, well, if you're unprofessional, then yes, you were going to get kicked out of the club. However, I would still say he has a right to be critical, but you have to expect that if you're unprofessional in the way that you do it, you're going to get kicked out of the special club and you're not going to be able to get some of those perks.
But they also copyright striked his videos too.
Did they end up doing that? Uh-huh. See, that's a low blow in my opinion.
Yeah, that they did that just because of the fact that even though, yes, you have a right to criticize, you know, under copyright law, you have the right to criticize some, you know, something copyrighted. But whether or not, like, he's violating any NDA or any type of agreement that he signed as part of joining the contributors program, that's probably where they're trying to protect that copyright. In addition to also protecting their brand by trying to essentially not associate their brand with someone who essentially, you know, uses F-bombs to, you know, to make their point about something, to vent their frustration, but not doing it in a very professional manner. Right.
And they
don't stick though.
But they don't owe him a goddamn thing, and that's important too.
I say
that to anybody that's trying to get into this medium, the YouTubes, the Twitches, the podcasting and all this stuff. And that this is one lesson we've learned over the past 15 years. Not that I ever think we were guilty of committing it, but one thing, you know, I gotta let y'all know is, you know, nobody owes you a goddamn thing. You're gonna have to work for it, you know, and that's what it boils down to at the end of the day. When it comes to viewers, when it comes to free products, when it comes to getting into E3 and all this stuff, nobody fucking owes you shit, and you're gonna have to really work and prove. And that's where people sometimes get into a tricky area, because some people are like, I want to be in the circle. I want to be somebody that's going to be recognized. So I'm going to be a mouthpiece for these organizations, and I'm going to say everything that they want to hear because I want to be accepted. I want to be loved, and I want to go to all these parties. But then you're kind of, you know, losing. So it's like it's a really tricky balance you have to do, where it's like you can be nice to your, and you can be professional, and this is where this guy went wrong, as he was unprofessional. You can be nice, you can be professional, all that to these companies, but at the same time, you kind of owe it to your audience to be honest.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he basically, the way he went about it, he had, his criticisms were very fair. I have to give him that, but the way he went about it, and the fact that he threw his, he threw Wargaming under the bus, especially if they provided him with something that wasn't even out yet. This was like upcoming.
Yeah,
like
so
this DLC was essentially, you know, not even released to the public yet. And that's probably why they're going after him.
Why
give it to him if they didn't want him talking about it?
Well, but here's it. If the DLC wasn't released yet and he put that on YouTube,
But now we're in slippery slope. They wouldn't have done that if he talked favorably about it. They wouldn't have copyrighted.
I still think it's a dick move on Wargaming's part, and this is a bigger issue for that part only. But really, this guy should have just been professional to begin with. I think the copyright strike is a bit far, but this is, at the end of the day, this is all fucking YouTube's problem. This is a YouTube culture that YouTube's created, and YouTube's bots have created this problem, and YouTube refuses to fucking fix it.
Right, and I mean, like, I guess where Wargaming draws the line is that, you know, they're saying, quote, you know, there's a level of toxicity and or offensive language that is unacceptable, even though they're more than willing to give members of their community second chances. But things like the fact that, you know, he's more than welcome to make those types of Wargaming-related videos, but, you know, they're really drawing the line about things like hate speech, homophobic slurs, things like that, and the fact that they were trying to curb their extremely profane language of a member of our contributor program.
So he used like homophobic. So he used trash language, basically.
Yes, he pretty much.
This is important. Do you know who uses trash language? Trash people. Okay. Here's the thing. He has a right to say all that shit. Fine, whatever, but I have a right to fucking block his channel, and I'm not going to be fucking watching it anytime soon. At the end of the day, though, in light of all that, I would still say it's a little bit of an overreach on their part, but I do understand it's DLC that's not out yet, so it's kind of like one of those, this gets into very slippery slopes, but this is for YouTube to work out with a real fucking human being that YouTube probably doesn't have staffed. Anyway, Zaku, right, I got to wrap up and let you go so we can get to other calls. But thank you. All right. Thank you for that onion of a story. It was like every time we peeled back, there was another fucking layer. All right.
Yep.
As the world turns. All right. Take care, Zaku.
Bye.
All right. It was good to hear from him. It's been a very long time since we heard from Zaku. Let's see if there's any last-minute stories real quick, and we'll probably wrap up soon, but I will take another shot for calls here. Orange Lounge Radio on Skype.
Apparently, the first episode, it looks like, of the OVA series, Red Ash, the Indelible Legend, has leaked out onto YouTube. So Red Ash Gear World, you can go check out the first thing. It's incomplete, so they're not sure where that leaked from, but it doesn't have any subtitles or anything like that. It's all in Japanese, but check it out if you're interested.
Okay.
I've got one.
Well, yeah.
Did you see they've announced a Switch package for Splatoon 2 that's in Japan and Europe with different colored Joy-Cons?
Oh, yeah, because it was all part of that. Did they mention the ARMS Direct? Or, I know there was the trailer
of
the
ARMS
Direct.
It was mentioned in something.
But yes, I did see the additional colors.
There's a green and a fuchsia, and I am really wanting that. And it hasn't been announced for North America, and I'm a little upset about that.
Well, it's a good thing the Switch is region-free, right?
So that I can import a Switch's Joy-Cons.
It's expensive. Yeah, it would be expensive. That's expensive hobby.
I just hope they announce it here.
They probably E3's come right around the corner. They might, but at the same time, it's like, oh god, I don't want to get into the territory of buying like $40 controllers just because they're in different colors. That's Shane's department. That's not something.
Well,
I want to do.
That's why I'm waiting until they're in different.
How much
colors
are they? I don't even know.
$80
a set of two.
So okay, they're so $40 a piece. But oh my god, no!
And you thought the Pro Controller was bad at
no!
70?
No. Why would I? It doesn't. I don't know. I like my.
HD Rumble got pay that Nintendo price.
I like the all gray. The it matches. So I will admit, when I saw the yellow ones that they're doing for ARMS, I was like, ooh, those are pretty. But $80? Nope. That just shut that off. Nope. That's fine.
I wonder if they're going to start bundling colored Joy-Cons with specific games, since they've announced that, you know, ARMS is the yellow, Splatoon is the green, and Fuchsia. Like, what if they do that?
Do you remember those early rumors about the Switch that there may actually be different types of Joy-Cons that go in the Switch? Yeah. Do you remember some of those early rumors that there might be like a GameCube controller type of thing that they'll use for Smash Brothers?
Okay.
That would be fucking interesting.
I gotta say though, like having played with the Pro Controller for a couple of months now,
yeah.
I don't feel like I need a GameCube controller for Smash.
You know there's fucking
penis, I know that,
though.
Okay, look, I know that the Melee community is still going strong and all that. There are going to be people who are going to stick to it, but I think for the majority of gamers, it's not like on the Wii where it's like the you know, the classic controller didn't really feel the same. I think the Pro Controller could hold up.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? It is getting kind of late. I'm sorry to those guys that didn't get through on our Skype line, but we're going to shut it down for the night just so we can wrap up because it's a little bit after 9 o'clock here. Thank you guys for listening to the show tonight. I want to thank you guys, as always, for tuning into and supporting Orange Lounge Radio. If you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever it is you heard this show. A nice 5-star review goes a very, very, very long way. And, of course, tell a friend about the show. This is all about word of mouth because we don't have a YouTube series or anything like that to promote the show.
Yet.
Oh, we do have a Twitch affiliate channel now. Woohoo! We're getting there. We're moving on up. Look out, John's Arcade. I'm coming for your subs. Just kidding. All right. But no, in all seriousness, you know, indie stuff, no matter where it is, you know, really grows thanks to you guys. So, JD, thanks for being here again tonight. Appreciate it. Always nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
All hail Orb.
All right, there you go. All right, and we'll move around the room here. Dark Soccer, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
I want someone to buy me this camera. It's a Holga digital camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $40.
Well, you need to start doing some streaming, and then when you get your biddies, you can buy the camera.
I actually was planning on picking back up on the Hot to Full Boyfriend stream.
There you go.
Because I've got Holiday Star and the other ones.
There you go.
So let me know on my Twitters. Aha, this will make me use my Twitter.
You're going to use Twitter?
I'm going to use Twitter. You're going to use my twatter. Let me know if you want me to play more Hot to Full Boyfriend.
Awesome. I want you to play more Hot to Full Boyfriend.
Yee, pigeon dating.
My final thought is, obviously I have to say something about that. My mom has not been doing too well this past week, and those of you that follow me on Twitter kind of know about that, and I just appreciate kind of having this show as something to take my mind off it for a little while. So thank you guys all for being here. I really, really appreciate it. And if you didn't see my latest tweet I made about an hour ago, I did get a text from my sister and my mom is doing better. So you know, things are hopefully improving in that department. So thank you guys very much. Last but not least, Loki, your final thought?
So One thing about this, Office Space Idle Clicker games, they have this little event stuff that they do where you earn like these in-game currency type things. But the in-game currency, each one of them gives you a 10% bonus. But the bonuses that you can also buy with that currency are actually less than if you just didn't spend them, which doesn't make any goddamn sense. So who the fuck programmed this shit? Because they're a fucking idiot. That's all I have to say about that.
It's a good thing Loki doesn't have a YouTube channel. All right.
I do. I just don't post anything on it.
There's a reason. All right. No, I'm kidding. All right. That's going to do it, guys. We will be back in 7 days. Yes, Memorial Day weekend. We will still be here. Nobody's going out of town, right?
Guess what?
What?
I got Memorial Day off.
Congrats.
Do you?
Yeah, I have it
off. You know what this means?
Drunk show.
Vodka.
Woohoo. All right.
V-O-D-C-A-H.
Responsible drinking. On next week's show.
I don't drink a lot of liquor.
I still have like half the bottle of Stroopwafel in that fridge.
I was just about to ask.
I've been known to drink a drink or two.
All right. That's it. We're done. We're out of here. Have a great night, everybody. We will see you in 7 days. We may or may not be sober. But if you're operating a vehicle, you damn well better be sober. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.